It's time for Jim Cates at CJ Online. News, opinion, interviews, and community conversation, live and online. Join Jim and his guests by calling 295-1150 or emailing jim.cates@cjonline.com. And now, from the Topeka Capital Journal and cjonline.com, here's the Dean of Talk Radio in Topeka, Jim Cates.
Good morning, Topeka. Here's our lineup. Well, before we get to our lineup this morning, this hour is brought to you in part by Brickhouse Antiques, 37th and Grilling, in one of the best antique stores you will find anywhere. If you're looking to buy or sell antiques, check it out. Brickhouse Antiques, they're open 7 days a week. They're open at 10 o'clock today, and if you've got antiques for sale, they would love to talk to you, and they would love to come out to your house to take a look at what it might be that you might have for sale. Brickhouse Antiques, Coralie Evans and Lisa Cusick, and by the way, they're going to be on the show for a few minutes. That is coming up about a week from, well, it's coming up on the 16th of November. We'll have Coralie Evans and Lisa Cusick joining us. Coming in today, Dave Jackson, of course, will be here at 10 o'clock, and we're going to spend an hour on gardening and lawn tips, as we always do each and every Friday, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. Preceding Dave Jackson, we have Jim Ogle, TV 13, Vice President, WIBW TV 13, and John Arnold. They'll be in at 9 o'clock for our top stories of the week, the review of what's been happening in Topeka, our great state, and throughout the country and the world. That's coming up at 9 o'clock. And coming in momentarily is Bob Beatty. And Bob and I are going to be discussing, well, there's always a lot to talk about with Bob Beatty. We'll get into the latest political developments in Kansas and the country as well. I'm sure we'll be talking about Tuesday's elections in New Jersey, Virginia, and New York. Republicans went 2 for 3. Was it a good night for the conservatives? Bad night? Well, kind of a mixed bag. I don't know if you're watching MSNBC. Hopefully you're not watching Oberman. What an obnoxious individual. But if you do watch MSNBC, they had a little different spin on what happened Tuesday night than Fox did. Fox took the news pretty good. They thought this was a great victory for the Republican Party Tuesday night. And it might have been, but was it a great victory for the conservative movement? And there the results are somewhat mixed. We did elect a conservative governor from Virginia. Certainly has right-of-center credentials. The governor-elect in New Jersey, a Republican, at least that's the way he's registered. We shall see if he ends up governing like a Republican or if he turns out to be another George W. Bush kind of Republican in sheep's clothing, I don't know. But the 23rd Congressional District in New York, this was the interesting race. Boy, was it ever. We had three candidates. We had the traditional Democrat, and we had the old-line George W. Bush type of Republican. And we had a candidate from the Conservative Party. And in New York, the Conservative Party is the, in terms of voter registration, the number three party. And the state of New York would be the Conservative Party. Well, as a result of several key nationwide endorsements from Sarah Palin, Fred and Jerry Thompson, very heavily involved in Hoffman's race. He was the conservative candidate in upstate New York. And Limbaugh was all over the traditional Republican and name-only nominee, as were several other national and regional talk show hosts. The Republican and name-only candidate dropped out, and as predicted, because so many people were saying, even though she was a registered Republican and had been a Republican office holder, everybody was basically saying, this woman is no Republican, she actually is a Democrat. So when she dropped out of the race, who did she endorse? Did she endorse the conservative candidate? Nope, indeed not. She endorsed the Democrats. So what everybody was saying about this woman turned out to be very, very true. Now, again, just because she was a Republican in name only, that doesn't make her a bad person, but it certainly doesn't make her an individual that conservatives should be inclined to vote for just because of the Republican label. That's what's wrong with the Republican Party in my mind. Okay, 295-1150. We're going to take a quick break. And I'm going to give Professor Beatty a call to make sure he is, in fact, on his way to the studio. He's our scheduled guest this hour. And if you have anything you want to say, you can always email us at jim.cates@cjonline.com, or you can give me a call at 295-1150. Stay tuned. More to come.
CJOnline.com has been upgraded, and it's an entirely new way for you to experience your community.
More than ever, CJOnline.com has what you need when you need it.
As your morning starts, CJOnline.com is updated with overnight news, weather, and the morning buzz.
Throughout the day, they bring you developing stories, interaction, and commentary.
In the evening, they recap the day in news and sports and feature their local bloggers.
Experience the local news and sports at CJOnline.com.
Your 24/7 Northeast Kansas news connection.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. As soon as you get your diagnosis, you can go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Canada Drug of Topeka provides a safe and easy way of delivering prescriptions to your door and saving you money every day.
Are your medication costs spiraling out of control? Is Plan D really saving you any money once you reach the donut hole? For many of us, saving money on skyrocketing medication costs has become a vital way of controlling those tight monthly budgets. I'm Eric with Canada Drug. We're locally owned and operated, have been for over 5 years, serving your friends and neighbors, helping them save thousands of dollars yearly on essential prescription medications. To find out how you can have more medication at the end of your month for less money, call us at Canada Drug today, 785-272-6100, or visit us just east of Wanamaker on 17th. Between Applebee's and McDonald's.
Saving for everybody. We're Canada Drug.
Canada Drug of Topeka. 272-6100.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
We're back with Jim Cates at CJOnline.com, your source for live internet news, opinion, interviews, and conversation in Topeka. Here's Jim.
CJOnline.com has been upgraded, and it's an entirely new way for you to experience your community.
More than ever, CJOnline.com has what you need when you need it.
As your morning starts, CJOnline.com is updated with overnight news, weather, and the morning buzz.
Throughout the day, they bring you developing stories, interaction, and commentary.
In the evening, they recap the day in news and sports and feature their local bloggers.
Experience the local news and sports at CJOnline.com.
Your 24/7 Northeast Kansas news connection.
Every 3 minutes.
Okay, we are back, and folks, it looks like we are going to be doing a monologue for the next few minutes. Our guest, I just called the Beatty House, and Bob forgot, apparently, that he was scheduled to be on the show today. So, again, if there's something on your mind that you would like to talk about, you can certainly give me a call at 295-1150. We'd love to hear from you. Or, well, let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on the air.
Jim, hi, it's Stacy Beatty.
Good morning, Stacy.
How are you?
Good.
There seems to have been a little bit of a scheduling glitch. Bob had you down for Monday the 9th, and he actually has another appointment scheduled this morning.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I need to get back with Bob then, because I do have the mayor's coming in at 9 o'clock Monday.
Oh, my goodness.
Or I hope the mayor's coming in at 9 o'clock Monday.
Okay.
Do you know what Bob's schedule would be next Friday?
Next Friday, I believe he is free and clear. Would you like him to come in then?
That would be great. Why don't we just book him for 8 o'clock? And by the way, you're on the air now.
Okay. I'm sure your listeners are enthralled by all this.
We are scheduling this on the air as we speak. Okay, let's just shoot for 8 o'clock next Friday. How would that be?
Very good, and I apologize for the confusion on our end, Jim.
No problem, Stacy. 90% of the time, it's something I've screwed up. and that was probably the case this time.
Oh, who knows? Who knows? But I'll let Bob know 1 week from today at 8.
That sounds great. Stacy, I do appreciate your call.
Thank you, Jim.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We have 46 minutes to go, and I've been rescued. Good morning, Rick Anderson.
Hi there, Jim. How are you?
Well, I am doing well. Have we got you turned on?
I hope so.
I think we're good to go.
Oh, there we go.
Well, I appreciate you coming up and rescuing me. Another scheduling glitch. And probably have had one of these, well, one a month. And I would say 90% of the time, it's something I've screwed up.
Rather. Things happen.
Well, they do. They seem to have.
The wonderful thing about being in the newspaper business is that if something like that goes wrong, generally you can just reschedule and everything's fine. There's no on air. There's no immediacy there. You can bump it off for a half hour and everybody's just everybody's none the wiser.
Well, you know what? The AARP is in the news this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because of their official endorsement of the Obama health care plan, or the Pelosi plan, I guess is now being referenced. And I received my AARP magazine yesterday. You know, I'm actually old enough. I know I don't look it, but I'm old enough to where I get a lot of literature from AARP. And I think I'm going to rescind my membership.
Uh-oh.
I think I'm going to contact AARP and say, nah, I don't think so. I don't believe I'm going to.
Because of this issue?
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't think I want to give them any more money if they're supporting the Obama health care plan. But at any rate, there were some interesting statistics in the AARP newsletter this month. Test your knowledge. Percentage of workers who were members of a union in each state in 2008. They've got a state-by-state breakdown.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you think the percentage of workers that are a union member in Kansas would be?
I will say 28%.
28. Actually, only 7.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Not bad.
I thought I was undershooting at 28%.
Yeah.
Boy,
you know,
the influence of unions is not very strong anymore.
No, you know, unions.
What's the top state there?
All right, what would you guess? Some real surprises on this.
The top state, I would guess it would be Michigan.
Okay, now I'm scrambling right now as we speak. Michigan comes in at 18.8%.
Okay.
You would never guess the top state. Michigan's
huh.
not it. Michigan might be number... Yeah, Washington comes in at 19.8.
Wow.
But the
Washington
top
state. Interesting.
Yeah. Folks, if you want to hazard a guess, we've got passes to the Hollywood Theater. Got two passes.
Outstanding.
295-1150. If you think you know the answer, Alaska is the number two state, 23% of Alaskans.
Hmm.
Workers.
23, huh.
Mm-hmm. But the number one state, really a shocker. And state number 50, equally surprising. So,
State number 50.
State number 50.
That's surprising as well. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Southern state, but it's a southern state that I wouldn't have said would have been at the bottom or the top of the heap.
Huh.
Georgia.
Georgia.
Yeah. You know, I would think Mississippi, Alabama, because mm-hmm. that's where the Toyota, Honda plants
oh.
are, aren't they?
Sure.
Yeah, non-union. You know, I just mm-hmm. don't perceive Georgia as being a non-union state.
Hmm.
But, you know, union membership is down everywhere, with the exception of public employees. Why do government employees need union representation? I don't understand it.
Good question.
Yeah, yeah. So much I don't understand in today's world. But the top state, the state that's number one, Hawaii. Now, why would 24% of Hawaiians belong to a union? Unless, again, government workers. Do they have that many government workers percentage-wise
in
Hawaii?
Well,
that percentage up.
Is there a union that represents people who work in the hotel tourism industry?
I don't know either. Well, there is in Vegas.
Yeah, okay. But then you would think Nevada would be a lot higher.
Uh-huh. Well, let's see where Nevada came in. Nevada is 16.7%.
Well, that's fairly high.
Yeah, so Kansas, we're relatively low as far as the percentage of Kansas workers. I don't know. I found that interesting.
That is interesting.
I don't know how many of our listeners just dropped off that didn't, but... But we just filled 10 minutes. Did you have a chance to listen to our show Monday?
I was on and off with it on Monday. I was in and out of my office.
Yeah, that was the former prison guard, Casey Maggard, and two former inmates. We had Kendra Barnes was one, and Veronica Spangler.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to have Kendra Barnes back on the show. I'm going to try to get her on a week from Monday. And I just found her delightful young lady. And when she left prison, she said, I am going to make something of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And in a year and a half, she's gotten her associate's degree through Baker University, I believe. Baker or Friends, one of the two.
Oh, wow.
And she's going to go for her master's ultimately. And what she wants to do with her life is really get involved in penal reform. Taking a look at inmate protections, one, because of some of her experiences. At the Kansas Women's Prison. And it's been a subject that has absolutely intrigued me the 12 years I've been on the air, is recidivism. I'm just intrigued by it. I don't understand why anybody that has served time to where you're locked down in a cell, this is your living quarters, would want to return to that environment. I don't get it. So that's the reason I'm going to have Kendra on. And I will give, our Secretary of Corrections, Roger Warholtz, and his predecessor, Chuck Simmons, credit, because I think I've been out to the women's facility on three different occasions. Mm. I've had probably a dozen current and or former inmates on the show over the past 12 years. And I've received great cooperation, from the Department of Corrections.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, Rick, I've never really gotten into the investigative end, to where Tim Carpenter and James Carlson have taken the story either.
Right.
So my relationship with Roger and Chuck, Bill Miskell, it's been a very, very good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But, I was taking this storyline down a different path. But I'm just absolutely intrigued. I'm no closer now to having the answers than the first show that I aired on this topic 12 years ago. Still don't have a handle, don't have a clue.
No, and I don't, I don't think anybody really does, because if there was an answer out there, I think we'd have less recidivism. And I think it's such a complex issue. I'm not sure there's any one answer. It seems to be wrapped up in kind of a cycle of crime and poverty and a lot of different factors, substance abuse, and so many different issues involved in it.
Yeah, and if you take a look at statistics on a state-by-state basis, Rick, all the states are basically the same. Kansas, we're not doing anything much different than what's being done in the other 49 states. We're not much higher, we're not that much lower than the other 49 states. So it certainly isn't a situation to where we found the key in Kansas. But if you take a look at all the 50 states, they're pretty closely lumped together percentage-wise on reentry into a penal facility. So, I don't know. The one question that I've asked Roger Warholtz, Dick Kerner, Chuck Simmons, when they've been on the air, why in the world do we have weightlifting equipment in a prison yard?
Yeah.
And they've all given kind of a weak, tepid answer. Well, at the end of the day, the prisoners are weaker, and they sleep better, more soundly, and they don't cause trouble if they're out working on weights during the day. Well, that's a tepid answer, and it's a BS answer, frankly. If you're working on weights, at the end of the week, you will be bigger, stronger.
What do you think? Yeah.
With more endurance, more stamina.
But sure.
Why not replace this weightlifting equipment with a library? I just don't understand.
Well, I think they do. I think the facilities do have, library materials available. I think. I mean,
Yeah, I said that somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but whatever money we're spending on barbells, you know, turn that money into more magazine subscriptions, more books, something to educate these inmates. So when they come out of prison, you know, they've got a skill, a marketable skill. So
that makes me wonder, too. I mean, what I don't have a real good handle on what work programs are still available in the state prison systems. I grew up in Hutchinson, and, you know, it was a common sight when you'd be out driving somewhere to see guys swinging idiot sticks in the ditches, guys from what used to be the reformatory. Now it's the Hutchinson Correctional Facility. And, you know, they used to have a lot of different work programs there. They had an entire farm out there where I think the inmates produced, we were always told anyway, I didn't know this, but produced most of their own produce and that kind of thing. So, you know, I don't know what kind of, it'd be interesting to me to find out what kind of work programs are still available in the system.
Well, you know, you can be, well, plumbing.
That's one.
Women's prison.
We know that well now, don't we?
Yes, indeedy.
Yeah. Yep.
Little extracurricular activity going on in class.
Yeah, I wondered about that too. I mean, that's a great skill, and you got to give the system all the credit in the world. But you have to wonder. I mean, if you're a plumber, what do? You end up going into a lot of people's houses. I mean, a lot of people have to trust you to let you into their house when, and a lot of times when they're not away. And it really makes me wonder how effective that would be if you, you know, how many people would be willing to let an ex-con into their house to do their plumbing work. You know, just pondering that.
Yeah, unless you were sending, you know, these apprentices out to work
sure.
on, you know, new construction sites, commercial construction. I don't know. You know, it's an interesting question.
Oh, that's true, right. There are a lot of different ways you could do it. Yeah, but that was just one of the kind of ponderings that I came up with.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. Yeah, the whole topic. It's. But we're going to spend, I'm sure, a lot more time now that I've got another excuse to get into this, which I do now.
Well, and yeah, I think that's a, but that's an issue too with the recidivism is, you know, how difficult it is for someone to get out of prison and then get a job, especially in today's environment where, you know, there's so much vetting of people, of applicants for positions, and there's so much more information available, it seems like. Yeah, it's I feel for anybody who's been in the system and has to get out and try to find work, especially, you know, right now. What unemployment just went to double digits for the first time since 1983. You know, boy, any strike against you right now is just enormous.
Yeah. You know, we've got to start getting creative in our thinking. I don't know when I say that what exactly that means, but when you've got somebody coming out of prison, you know, if we just had a halfway house to where we were employing these individuals, basically, you know, the taxpayer's dime, you know, a minimum wage job, at least giving them shelter, what have you. And then if they abuse that opportunity, then stiffen the sentence, send them right back
to where
they came from, and double the sentence, make them accountable for their actions if they screw this opportunity up.
Yeah.
But at least coming out, you know, they'll have a way to make a living.
Exactly.
They'll have a livelihood.
Right.
I don't know exactly how we would do that because I know then we would have the hue and cry from some of the taxpayers saying, well, you're taking jobs away from law-abiding citizens, and there's something to be said for that. But by the same token, $25,000 a year to house an inmate. You know, every time you come on the show, and I always appreciate it, Rick Anderson, I've always got suggestions.
All right.
On how you can improve the paper.
Wonderful.
Or suggestions for a possible article.
All right.
Here's one.
All right, bring it.
You know, and again, talking about, you know, prison, incarceration, sentencing, the whole nine yards. Over the past several years, the Cap Journal has ran so many stories on unique sentences given in Shawnee County.
It would a lot of those are unique in a bad way.
Yes.
Right.
That's exactly where I was going with this.
Okay.
But, you know, just to have a summary, possibly in the paper.
Uh-huh.
And over the past 3 years, you know, I go back to being held accountable for your actions, I think, would certainly reduce our crime.
You bet.
Big time. You know, I just take a look at this guy that burned down. How many churches did he burn down?
Two, yeah.
That he confessed to. Two other churches were burned down at the same period in time, and there was never...
I think that there was, I can't remember, there was the one on South Fairlawn.
Right.
And I think that's the one that he actually pled to.
Yeah.
The one at then St. David's, that fire, I don't think he pled to that one.
No, but there was another church fire somewhere that he did, a church that was partially destroyed. You're right. St. David's, he didn't plead guilty to
Right.
They let him off on that one.
Uh-huh.
But he pled guilty to the desecration of the cemetery.
And the Medevar
clock tower. Didn't he plead guilty?
Remember if he did or not on that one.
But best case scenario for this guy, you know, well in excess of $1 million worth of damage.
Yeah.
Possibly the more realistic scenario, you know, $4 to $5 million worth of damage, the guy gets probation.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
Taking a look at this teacher, you know, that was diddling the 13-year-old boy, again, probation. Taking a look at a couple of the rape cases under one of our former judges, probation. Very, very difficult to get jail time.
A first offender, it seems like, a first-time offender. You know, I was at the sentencing with the young man who was involved with the church fires and the desecration, and, you know, the judge asked, what I'm seeing here on your pre-sentence investigation says that you plan to further your education. Have you made any applications to churches or to colleges?
Uh-huh.
No. Have you taken the ACT? No. There was no follow-up. Well, what does that mean then? How are you going to further your education? What's the plan? He was given an opportunity to explain what was going on in his life. You know, why did you pick on churches? What was the problem? Well, I can't tell you. That's all? You know, it was...
So there's no remorse, there wasn't any...
Asking
for forgiveness, and give me another chance, and I'll straighten my...
He issued a kind of, you know, generic apology. I'm sorry for what I've done. As I recall, it was maybe two sentences. And that was essentially it. And, I mean, it seemed to me that he was giving the judge every opportunity to say, well, I'll depart from the sentencing recommendation here, again, it was probation, and on your merry way you go.
Who was the judge?
Oh, I can't recall. This was 6 or 8 weeks ago, and I'm not remembering at this point. But you know, I wouldn't even want to single out a judge in this conversation, because you do see, Jim, you see so many of these that are. You know, the recommendation, either the recommendation is for probation and they don't depart upwards, or the recommendation is for imprisonment and they depart downwards, which I guess maybe you have less chance of losing on appeal that way, or of, you know, having your sentencing decision questioned at the appellate level. But, yeah, it really sends a weak message to the community.
Yeah. And, you know, Rick Anderson, we're going to be voting on retaining some of these judges, and I kind of like the system we have in place in Kansas. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm troubled when we have judges running for election and re-election, because who's going to contribute to a judicial candidate? Lawyers that have a vested interest on who wins that election as far as being given favorable consideration. So I don't like the idea of electing judges. But on retention, we know so little about the judges that we're voting on judicial decisions.
And there was an organization, I can't remember the name of the organization, that started putting together a database of judges and a rating system that would give the voters some information before they went to the polls about, you know, how is this judge performed since the last retention election? And yeah. I haven't looked at that. The first time I looked at it, though, what was discouraging is that I think that maybe a quarter of the judges in the state had been rated at that point, and they all received the highest rating. Now, come on. You know, somebody's got to get a B here. You can't tell me that in any group of 100 yeah. people, everybody is an A-plus student. So, you know, I think that was a really
well,
bad
I like to
first
say
step.
A little cynicism, you know, in that time.
Right.
Organization was formed because I think it was an arm of the Kansas Bar Association.
I think you're right.
Maybe the
yeah.
Bar Association, something. I don't know.
Right.
But it was a group of attorneys mm-hmm. that were rating our judges. Well, I've got a problem with that. If it was a citizen activist group, that would be something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if America,
or at least if there were some citizens on it. You know, if it's just a
yeah.
panel of attorneys, I think probably I'd wonder the same thing.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, if the attorneys were really giving frank assessments of these judges and were allowed to really be objective about it, I think you'd get good opinions there. If you had a big enough sample base, I mean, who knows how a court system works better than an attorney? So, you know, I think that I would definitely trust the judgment of a lot of attorneys that I've met.
Yep. You betcha. And, you know, maybe the idea would be good if there was just a citizens panel mm-hmm. out there. But, you know, as far as the paper, maybe closer to election time or retention time, maybe. You know, again, just a summary of some mm-hmm. of these major judicial decisions in this
yeah.
community. Because I look at this Gallardo. You know, mm-hmm. this plumbing instructor.
Right.
Had sex with 6 inmates. Now, we talked about this Monday on the air. I said, you know, percentage-wise, and I asked 2 of her former inmates and our former guard, Casey Maggart, that was on the show, the same question. I said, you know, percentage-wise, out of these 6 inmates, how many percentage-wise did Gallardo hit on? Or percentage-wise, how many cases were the inmates hitting on mm-hmm. the plumbing instructor? And they said, you know, it's 50-50. You know, but it makes no difference.
Right.
If you're an employee, if you are a correctional officer, you shouldn't be having sex.
No, absolutely.
With an inmate.
Right.
It's just inexcusable.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, obviously, it was apparently rape, you know, for the inmate that had
yeah.
the abortion.
Right.
That was rape.
And
I don't
he pleaded to that one, as
yes.
I recall, pleaded, was it no contest to that
yeah.
one? Right.
And he gets probation
mm-hmm.
for rape.
Yeah.
This is rape and probation. And this
yeah,
is,
exactly.
A sentence imposed by one of her Shawnee County district judges.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We know so little, again, about the people that we are voting to retain or non-retain. And, you know, the percentages over the years haven't really changed much. 75% of the voters
yeah.
are going to vote to retain.
Mm-hmm.
25% are going to vote not to retain.
Right.
And I've always been surprised by that because it seems like everybody I talk to, maybe I'm just running with a unique crowd, most of the people that I talk to say they vote no on retention. But a lot of people obviously out there that I am not
yeah,
in
I've
contact
always,
with.
Yeah. No, and I like your thought of somehow, you know, looking at the judges and giving a kind of an encapsulated perspective about some of their major cases.
Yeah.
What you run into there, though, is okay. Then how do you pick which ones are? How do you pick which cases are important? And how do you do that without really editorializing and running the risk of looking like you're either endorsing a judge or you know otherwise? So.
Well, I know Matt Dowd, you know, caught a lot of criticism a few years ago for
mm-hmm.
some of his judicial
cool. yeah, he did.
Rulings. And I've known Matt for years, and I frankly like Matt. We're
mm-hmm.
members of different political parties,
mm-hmm.
but I've always gotten along well with Matt. And I'm not defending his decisions by
sure.
any stretch of the imagination. But since Matt Dowd, there's been several other judges
oh, yeah.
that have imposed the same type of sentence. I mean, Matt Dowd was not unique.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the sentences.
Oh, exactly.
That have been.
Well, no, I agree. And you know, there have been a number of cases where I've been surprised by the leniency of the sentence. You know, what I'd be interested in too, Jim, is to look at Wichita, to look at Sedgwick County, and see how their system has worked there. I mean, they're one of, I can't remember how many counties elect judges. Them. Yeah, they elect judges
roughly,
down
we
there.
We have 53 judicial districts in Kansas, and I think, Rick Anderson, it's roughly 50-50.
Really?
On election versus
wow.
Retention.
I see, I thought it was a lower number on the election, but, you know, I would be interested to look at Sedgwick County and look at the pros and cons and see how their system has worked down there. I've heard the same concerns about electing judges. There's always that thought that, you know, if the judges are elected, then the judges can be bought. And I don't know. I guess I just don't know enough about. I've always lived in counties where the judges were retained. So I'd like to learn more about how in practice it actually works to elect the judges. But kind of an interesting concept anyway.
Yeah, I know in Sedgwick County, I know several. In fact, I think I know more judges on a first-name basis in Sedgwick County than I do Shawnee County.
Really?
Now, years ago when I was heavily involved politically, I knew virtually all of the judges in Shawnee County.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not that politically involved anymore.
I see, sure.
I would say 60-70% of the judges I've never met, you know, that are serving in Shawnee County.
Uh-huh.
But Sedgwick County, there's several former legislators that are now judges in Sedgwick County.
There you go.
Well,
Phil,
of a stepping stone.
Yeah, Phil Journey, in fact, is one of the newer, I think, Sedgwick County judges, and he was a state senator
Eric
on the Republican side. Yeah, sure.
Former state senator Tony Powell. This guy really had a bright political future.
Yeah.
Well, I guess he succeeded. He's now a judge in Sedgwick County. So there's several in Sedgwick County, you know, that came out of our legislative branch.
That's interesting.
Hey, real quick, I know you've got to get downstairs, and I appreciate you coming up.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Ty Christian. Ty has been on the show before. I think I left you a voicemail. His brother, Ted Christian, is running for a city council position in Atlanta, Georgia.
Right.
So it's kind of a local boy, makes good type of story.
Exactly.
And this was, I think Ty said, a nine-way primary going into the general election. And Ted is, I think he's finished second, so he's in a runoff position.
I'm a little bit confused, and I sent I appreciate you letting us know about that, Jim. And I sent it to our news side, our news gathering side, and made them aware that it's Ty who's in Atlanta, right?
Ted.
Ted, I'm sorry.
Ted's in Atlanta.
Ty is the fire department captain, right? Mm-hmm. Made them aware that Tad was in this position. And I did a little bit of research, and I got a little bit confused because it looked to me like he finished third in his district, if I looked at the results right, but I don't know, and I still, you know, I did enough research probably to just be dangerous and not really know what I'm talking about, but I did catch some references to a runoff between him and the person who finished first in his district. So
that's
I don't.
Odd. That's odd.
I don't know.
I got a message from Ty the day after the election, and Ty left me a voicemail, and he said, "I just want to let you know that Ted finished second, and he's going into a runoff election against, you know, I didn't recognize obviously
right.
his opponent.
Apparently, but, the winner in that opponent is an openly gay candidate, from what I've read.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
well, this is one of the more upscale council districts. In
oh,
America,
really?
As I understand
huh,
it.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
No, but that is, I thought that was a really neat story. I hope we get somewhere with it and we're able to publish something because, you know, it was interesting. First of all, Ty's story was interesting about how he had done some research on a firefighter who had died, I think, in 1926 and hadn't been added to the Fallen Firefighters Memorial, if I recall right.
Yeah.
And what a neat story that he went back and found that information. So he was featured in a front page story in the Capital Journal, I think, in September maybe, or maybe even last month. And to know that his brother now is you know, a political figure in Atlanta and is apparently doing quite well is that's pretty neat.
Yeah. Well, folks, any time that you know of a former Topekan, you know, that's doing something rather unique outside of Topeka that were the Capital Journal, we might have missed the story. We just simply might not be aware of some of our former Topekans' activities. Oh,
absolutely, yeah.
Don't hesitate to give Rick Anderson or anybody, if you happen to know a reporter personally, just call the Capital Journal.
You bet.
And, you know, we'll take a look at the story.
Yeah.
I'm sure. You've got a room full of reporters downstairs that would love
absolutely
to sink their teeth into something. Or if we truly have a former Topekan that's making news elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
let's get that story in the Capital Journal as well.
Absolutely.
So, folks, that's
love
where
it.
You can help, 295-1111, and just call the Capital Journal
mm-hmm.
with your story leads. Rick, I know you've got to get downstairs. I appreciate you pinch hitting.
I appreciate the offer, Jim. Thanks very much.
Well, it's always good to have you on.
All right.
Stay tuned, folks. More to come.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, we are back. I'm just sending, responding to an email from my good buddy Dwayne Rain in Texas, our former Shawnee Countyan that is now residing in Texas, listening to us today. Dwayne, always good to hear from you. 295-1150. If there's something on your mind, would love to talk to you. Now, Ted Christian, I know many of you in town probably know Ted, and he finished second, as I understand it. Atlanta has 9 city council positions, and Ted finished second, but a former Topekan, I just thought that was a story that might be of interest to some of you. So for those of you that know Ty Christian, one of our former or one of our current firefighters, well, that happens to be his brother. So another case of a former Topekan that makes good, makes the big time. Just got an email from one of our listeners and said, you know, since you're looking for filler material, here's one for you. And this starts off NBA or NFL. So, folks, identify who it is we're talking about. And I've got a comment I want to make when we finish this. 36 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have done time for assault. 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 currently are defendants in lawsuits. And 84 have been arrested for drunk driving in the past year. Who are we talking about, NBA or the NFL? Well, according to the email that I received, we're talking about our 435 members of Congress. And where I want to go with this, folks, this has been what we call snoped. There's nothing really to this. I think Snopes, John Arnold, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
You've heard this. You've seen this same story, I'm sure,
yes,
several occasions. And I know the check writing, that is fact. I think Snopes said about a third of this information is somewhat factual when taking a look at our 435 members of Congress.
And it also depends upon when it was, what session you're talking about, you know, right now or 2 years ago or 6 years ago or what.
Yeah. But, you know, the one that really grabbed me when I heard this thing the first time, 84 have been arrested for drunk driving over the past year. Out of 435 members, I said, no, that's not going to fly. So at any rate, folks, that's why they have, you know, the checks and balances built into the Internet. And I know Snopes is one service out there that if you receive an email and if you're just unsure as to its validity, go to what they call Snopes, S-N-O-P-E-S.
.com.
.com. And I'm sure there's other sites out there as well. John, are you aware of anything else other than Snopes?
There are others, but I use Snopes almost exclusively because somebody will send something around and you say, I just don't trust that. Let's go check it out. And it generally turns out not to be correct.
Yeah. Well, this is one that disturbs me. You've seen the ones circulating, I'm sure. If you reduced the world to 100 people, what would the world look like?
Yes, very interesting.
Fascinating. It is.
It is.
And probably factually accurate. I didn't see anything in there that really caught my attention.
No.
Well, this came from one of our professors at one of our major universities, the miniature Kansas.
And oh,
you
really?
Yeah, you talk about a bunch of hooey. This is bad. And it says, if we could turn Kansas into a small community of 100 people, keeping the same proportions we have today, it would look something like this. And I'm going to read this. John, it's somewhat lengthy. But see whether any of this really jumps out at you. It's just absolutely erroneous information. It did me. Nancy and I, Nancy got on the computer just to check some of the percentages that they were given. And this was a university professor kicking this nonsense out. Okay. The miniature Kansas, folks, if you were to reduce the state of Kansas to 100 people, what would Kansas look like? 6 African Americans, 1 American Indian, 2 Asian Americans, 9 of a Hispanic or Latino origin, 50 men, 50 women in the state, 15 would live in rural areas, 15 out of 100 would be disabled, 59 are Protestant, 23 are Catholic, 4 are other religions, and 14 are unaffiliated. Out of our 100 Kansans, if you were to reduce our population to 100 people, what would Kansas look like? 27 would be children, 47 adults that are employed, 3 are unemployed, 23 are not looking for work. Of adults employed, 1 is in farming, 11 are in education or health care, 35 are in other occupations. 11 adults out of 100 have not graduated from high school. 29 out of 100 do have a college degree. 90 speak only English. 2 speak other languages. 6 speak only Spanish. 1 speaks only Asian. 12 are without health insurance. 20 out of 100 smoke. 8 out of 100 use illegal drugs. 6 are foreign-born. 2 are from Asia. 1 is from Europe or Africa. 3 are from Latin America. 77 out of 100 Kansans have a computer and or internet access. 13 households live on less than $15,000. 5 households make more than $150,000. 12 are in poverty. 5 are hungry. 8 are with some food insecurity. And 1 out of 100 Kansans homeless. John Arnold, that's it.
Interesting.
Well, it's not only interesting, it's BS. It's just crap. 1 out of 100 Kansans homeless. That's the one that caught my eyes. That can't be. There is no way that 1 out of 100
1% Kansans, of our population is homeless?
Yeah. Well, it worked out to be, it's less than 1/10 of 1%. 222 Kansans per 10,000 residents, I believe. Well less than 1%, well less than 1/10 of a percent.
But, you know, it just takes one statistic such as this. Then you start to question everything else.
Well, sure.
And that's the one that really caught my eye. That was the one that just absolutely leaped out at me. This can't be factual, and it wasn't. How about you?
I didn't see anything that really put me off very quickly. The unemployed, only three unemployed, that kind of made you question. And you said one, those are employed, one was a farm worker. I forgot the second category, 35 other were employed.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. just came out with the new unemployment rate today.
9.9?
10.2.
Really?
We're up to 10.2. And that doesn't include, Jim, the part-time workers. Well, it does include the part-time workers because the U.S., the Bureau of Labor Statistics, counts part-time worker as the same as a full-time worker.
Yeah.
And it doesn't count the guys who have quit looking and have given it up. And if you add those into it, you're probably up to 14%, 15%, something like that. Because they estimated the number of people who have quit looking.
Forget what's the Dow doing today as a result of the 10.2?
It was down 60 points 30 minutes ago. I don't know what it is right now.
And we'll punch that up in a few minutes then.
But I thought that this stat was pretty good in terms of a number of things. One, that 77 people have computer or internet access. That's,
yeah.
That kind of surprises me, given the fact that what's the percentage that lived in rural? 15%. Only 15% live rural.
But, John, you know, also, we're talking about reducing Kansas down to 100 people. What would our state look like?
Uh-huh.
15 out of 100 are disabled? Oh, come on.
That seems high, too.
That
yes.
Seems just absolutely ridiculous.
And the 15 may not necessarily, they may be on disability, which could be temporary in some cases, not totally and permanently disabled. You know, I don't know what the
John, we're aging baby boomers. 15% of your friends disabled?
No.
Well, 15% of the 25 and 30 and 35-year-olds certainly aren't either. You know,
yeah.
I think that statistic is just, again,
yeah.
I just question the validity of some of this. 100, reducing the population to 100 in Kansas, 5 out of 100 Kansans are hungry?
Yeah.
1 out of 20 hungry? You know, I just think this gives such a distorted, negative view of Kansas, some of this nonsense this professor kicked out.
Well, hungry.
And I just hate to see something like this hit the Internet.
Definition of hungry also, you know, what's hungry? 12 are in poverty. 1's homeless, 5 are hungry. Well, I understand what poverty is, I understand what a homeless is, but I'm not sure about hungry. Just when they called him up and asked, are you hungry? yeah. Matter of fact, I've had breakfast yet. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, our listener, you know, that sent the email, you know, on Congress, it just couldn't have been a better segue.
Oh, yeah.
Into, perfect. You know, what I wanted to talk about anyway, and that's this crazy, crazy look at Kansas. Because so much of this information, you know, it comes out on the Internet, and so many of us, if we see it on the Internet, well, it's got to be fact.
Well, a lot of people circulate it as if it were facts. You're right.
Yeah, and I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, we all have, I'm sure. You know, there's occasionally I'll receive something on the Internet, and wow, I didn't know that. You know, and I'm firing it off to half a dozen of my friends as if it were fact. But anything else jump out at you?
12 of the 100 have no health insurance and 20 smoke. Those two kind of interesting.
Really? Now, you know, and I've seen some statistics on nationwide smoking percentages.
That's pretty high, it seems to me.
No, it's...
Nationwide?
I think nationwide, John, we're right now, if we're talking about... Well, it is high. Because if we're talking about adults, 20%
right.
of adults smoke. But they're reducing, you know, and again, I think this it just shows the sloppiness of putting this thing together. Because if we're reducing Kansas's population to 100, you know, somewhere in here were the percentages of kids.
Well, they say 27 kids and 47 adults.
Yeah.
And so if 47 adults, 20 of them smoke, that's getting close to half.
Yeah. Yeah, the highest state in the union was either Kentucky, South Carolina, to where in excess of a third of Kentuckians, South Carolinians, or whoever,
sure.
they still smoke. In Kansas, we were pretty much in the mainstream, you know, at 20% of the adult population in Kansas still smokes. 80% doesn't, but
again, it's just watch what you read, folks.
Yeah.
Check it out. Check it out. And, yeah. Because I get
so many neat things.
I think the listeners,
yeah.
And a lot of which I've gone on the air with, and it just happened to be on this one email I got today from Dwayne. I had seen this before, and or else I probably would have gone on the air.
The one measurement that we missed there is the number of people out of 100 who are gullibly believing everything they read in the internet.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the point that says, you know, 72% of all statistics are made up. Including that one.
I like that. Dwayne, my friend, good to hear from you. Thanks a million for sending that. It's just, it really was just a perfect segue. So we do appreciate it. Okay, jim.cates@cjonline.com. That's our address. If you've got something that you want to email us, we would love to hear from you. We're going to take a break, and when we return, Jim Ogle is on his way in. WIBW TV 13 exec, and Jim and John and I, we're going to be talking about the top stories of the week. You know, one that we haven't mentioned this hour was the Fort Hood story. You know, I really don't know. John, what's the latest on that? What that do we know about this guy? I'm sure you were watching the morning news.
I was watching the morning news.
That wasn't reported in the paper. What else has come out about this guy? Who is he?
His psychiatrist. Name is Hassan, and Neil... Can't quite get the first name. Nilhan Hassan, psychiatrist, interestingly, but they said he's still alive.
Militant in his religious beliefs, you know, Muslim, Islamic, you know, all of that was coming out late last night.
They showed...
And speculation was that maybe this was kind of an over-the-top militant.
Hard to know.
But that hasn't come out yet then.
Well, they haven't concluded that. Because I don't think they've been able to talk to him. They did show a security camera at some quick shop or something like that that showed him in what they called traditional Muslim garb. There's nobody who argues that he's not a Muslim. But he's American-born. And they said that... He yelled Allah Akbar as he started shooting, which is a common God is good in Arabic, is it?
So we're, you know, back to this religious intolerance. You know, I don't give a rat's foo-foo. If somebody wants to worship a rock, it's okay with me.
R-O-C-K, yeah. Right?
But just religious intolerance, it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
You know, there's been so many needless wars fought. Oh. On this planet, you know, in the name of God, because of religious intolerance. We've got to get a handle on this. Hey, I just got an email from Kevin Dole. And, Kevin, if you're still listening, hopefully you are, why don't you email me back? Let me know if you're available next Friday for a media roundtable. Kevin Dole has TK Business Magazine.
Tell him his TK Business Magazine is right here on the table in front of us.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The first edition. But Kevin emailed us, and he said, I just sat back down and caught the last part of that bit about emails containing bogus information. I don't know if you mentioned Snopes.com or not, but that's where I go to check the veracity of anything I get by email. Yep, Kevin, that's exactly what we were talking about, was Snopes. So
exactly.
Anytime that you receive an email, check it out. Always a good idea. Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Jim Cates Show.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Drug of Topeka provides a safe and easy way of delivering prescriptions to your door and saving you money every day.
Are your medication costs spiraling out of control? Is Plan D really saving you any money once you reach the donut hole? For many of us, saving money on skyrocketing medication costs has become a vital way of controlling those tight monthly budgets. I'm Eric with Canada Drug. We're locally owned and operated, have been for over 5 years, serving your friends and neighbors, helping them save thousands of dollars yearly on essential prescription medications. To find out how you can have more medication at the end of your month for less money, call us at Canada Drug today, 785-272-6100, or visit us just east of Wanamaker on 17th. Between Applebee's and McDonald's.
Savings for everybody. We're Canada Drug.
Canada Drug of Topeka. 272-6100.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, we're back. Jeremiah Bullfrogs, 29th and Wanamaker, the best sports bar to be found anywhere. And, folks, if you're a KU, K-State football fan, well, you're not going to be able to watch the game at home on the traditional Cox system. They don't have it. You've got to have that high-definition, super-duper package, what have you.
Yeah, versus.
Which means a lot of people are going to be going to sports bars tomorrow to watch the KU, K-State game. It's a sellout. You're not going to be able to watch it in Manhattan. At Snyder's Stadium? No, indeed not. So, folks, again, you might want to get to Bullfrogs early tomorrow morning. They've got 55 TVs, 55, count them, for your viewing pleasure. Jeremiah Bullfrogs, 29th and Wanamaker. And they also have another location, Bullfrogs Live, Huntoon and Gage. So check it out, the best sports bar to be found anywhere in northeast Kansas. In fact, the Capital Journal Best of Topeka contest over the past 15 years, for 15 consecutive years, Jeremiah Bullfrogs has been named the number one, the best sports bar to be found anywhere in northeast Kansas. Check it out. Good morning again, John Arnold.
Good morning.
And Jim Ogle.
Good morning, all.
Let's talk about your injury. How are you doing now?
I feel like I'm giving a hospital update kind of thing. Oh, I'm within about 25% of being able to use my left arm and hand the way it was prior to injury. The problem
was a bicycle accident.
Bicycle accident on Southwest 29th. I went over the handlebars. The bicycle stopped. I stopped a little bit later as I faced first into the street and cut myself apparently with my hands and chopped off my elbow and broke some bones and dislocated my right finger. It's kind of it's a wayward son over here on the right-hand side. But
you were wearing a helmet.
No, if I wasn't wearing a helmet, I think there's a very good chance I would be either dead or certainly have had the kind of injuries that I wouldn't be here with you today. I would still be in treatment and might have been paralyzed. So it is critical for anyone, children, grandchildren, even if they're going to just get on their bike in the driveway, they need to have a helmet. The helmet can save their life. You don't want that visitor on any child.
Growing up in the 50s, though, we didn't have helmets as kids. And I just look at some of the terrain when I was riding over. Now times have changed.
Big fat tires on your bicycle also.
Well, we did.
And the most bikes now have very, unless you get a particular mountain bike, have those very narrow tires, like John was saying.
Yeah.
And Those are a different thing. The other thing we also, you know, there are a lot of things. We were killing 50,000 people a year on our highways, and people were driving drunk back in the 50s, too. Yeah. And it wasn't an awareness as it is now and how we've knocked some of those numbers down. The helmet's just it's a safety tool.
Sure. Yeah. It's just good common sense. But I don't remember any serious injuries, you know, growing up in the 50s as a result of not wearing a helmet. And I'm sure it happened.
I think maybe we were smarter bike riders at that time. We didn't try to ride through potholes.
There you go. And that is a difficult thing to do until we get our streets fixed.
Yeah.
So that's certainly true.
And you forget about the little cracks in between the pavement and the gutter that can just take a bike and flip it.
Particularly narrow tires.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. You bet.
We've got in a number of places in our community, we've got grates. The width is slightly wider than the tire that were put in that are parallel to the flow of traffic.
Exactly right.
So you're constantly having people who are unaware roll up on those things, tire go in, and they flip over.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of things that
are...
Is
that what happened to you? No.
I looked back over. A woman in the other lane pointed behind my bike. I looked back over my shoulder. The best thing the witnesses said, it looked like as I turned the wheel a little bit, and that wheel then... when it caught a big gap that was in between two big pieces of the concrete, instead of being the normal expansion joint, it was a lot larger, probably snapped the wheel in. I went right out of my hands, and then now it's just, it's a physics class. I just keep going until I stop.
Well,
yeah.
Somebody immediately called 911.
Oh, lots of people. The extraordinary thing was the way all these people gathered. As I'm lying there on the ground, they're telling me not to get up, and I'm saying, no problem with that. I'm looking up, and they're like, 11 people are surrounding me.
Wow.
They're all calling 911. They're holding my head because the way I hit, they were very concerned I might have broken vertebra or stuff like that. And they were just sensational. I don't know any of their names. So every time I talk about this story, I want to say thank you to those people.
Yeah.
It's part of that great spirit of this a community example. How we hear about horrific things happening in other towns where no passerby stops. They let a person lie there, mm-hmm. and how people just rush to my help. I mean, here's this big overweight guy coming down the street, blam, and everything. It's probably more to laugh at than everything else, and they just rush to help me.
Well, you're not as overweight as I am. You're losing a little.
I kind of got on pause through this. Yeah. I can't wait to get back up on the bike and everything and continue getting healthier so that I can help the statistics for Kansas. You know, we're pushing 40% of our population is now clinically obese. And what we pay in health care costs because of that obesity and the number of people who are now stage 2 diabetes and things mm-hmm. like that, we're writing the check. All of us are writing the check for our city, county, and state, and federal employees, school employees, who we help make their health insurance possible. We've got to get healthier, and one of the great ways to do it is just get moving. 30 minutes a day for adults, at least 60 minutes a day for kids. They've got to be out moving around. Do not sit in front of a TV and watch TV all day.
Play video games.
Exactly.
So you're laying there with these 11 people around you. Did you have any thoughts about, are these people pallbearers?
I will tell you, though, there was this run your tongue over your teeth. Yep, they all seem to be there. I reach up like this and go, my nose feels straight. I don't think I broke that. But then when I looked at that, I go, my finger was going off in two different directions. I go, well, that's not right. So
that can't be good.
No, it wasn't. But I will tell you, I got hauled into the new emergency facility Stormont Vale. And it is really extraordinary. I wish no one to have to do it. But I got to tell you, the ability of how they designed it to isolate the different stations. You know, an emergency room can be not only a chaotic, but you're under very great stress. Your adrenaline's pumping. You're in, maybe even be shocky, and you go into a place like that, and they can isolate you from the noise, provide you with care in your own room in that new emergency facility. It is extraordinary. And it's another
example. Is
that
still the southeast corner? Is that still the entrance?
No, it is now at the northwest corner. is the whole new emergency department. They've got like 28 stalls.
Yeah.
And
northwest corner.
Northeast corner, excuse me. Northeast yeah. corner of the main complex. And it is just extraordinary. It raises us to, it's a level 2 trauma facility. Uh-huh. It is, again, and all of that has been made happen because we've had an extraordinarily well-run hospital and healthcare facility in Stormontville, Maynard Olivares, and Cotton O'Neill Clinics combined are extraordinary. Now, I'm doing my physical therapy with Saints at their sports medicine. I have to have a hand specialist work with me.
Oh, wow.
And John is just sensational, and they've got a great facility out there. I've said this again to everyone I can in healthcare. I have been hurt in other places where I've been treated like lump meat. And the compassion of the care and the real concern that I've gotten from everyone from receptionists on up, it's just sensational. It's another reason why this is an extraordinary community. And all you need do is go into the parking lot and some of our clinics around town and look at the license plates.
Sure.
And see how important that is to Topeka right now.
Oh, sure. You know, we have become this regional medical center.
Oh, terrific.
And deservedly so. We've done a great job in that respect.
Yep.
And hopefully, you know, St. Francis, we're going to have the official groundbreaking, hopefully in the not-too-distant future, for our new hospital in Shawnee County.
And it is incredible that both the sisters who originally founded that and Stormont Vale, this isn't a chain in a sense that came from far away and opened the equivalent of another Walmart here, as many communities now have in their health care. We've got two extraordinary facilities in that regard.
Locally based.
Jim Ogle, John Arnold, let's talk about the top stories of the week. Who wants to start off? Jim Ogle, how about your top story of the week?
But, you know, sadly, we have so much to choose from, and if we just limit ourselves locally, but I would feel remiss even in limiting locally that, you know, our hearts don't go out to the service people and the civilians who have been injured and killed in that terrible tragedy in Texas. You know, I remind you again, as you see, whether it be guardsmen or regular military who happen to be in uniform walking down the street, are people who are from the Coast Guard here in this community, you know, take a moment and say thank you to them. You know, you're not supposed to have to face hostile fire when you're on base in the United States. And I'm just thankful to all those people who, remember, we're all volunteer.
You think this is, John Arnold and I were talking about this very briefly before you came in, Jim Ogle. You think this is going to be another storyline about religious intolerance?
I'm not going to jump. One of the bad things about 24-hour media and multiple channels is that before we know anything for certain, we start hypothesizing about what might the worst be. And I don't think that we're well served getting hysterical until we know exactly what's going on. And so I'm not going to jump to that. It is nice to see, however, as you're looking, that Google is celebrating the 40th anniversary of Sesame Street with the special Bert and Ernie Google ID over your shoulder there, Jim, on your computer. But, you know, I don't think we should jump to any conclusions till we get more facts.
You're right, Jim. No question. And what happens with the 24/7 cable guys is that they got to fill the air, and the big story is that, and so they get different correspondents saying different things, different opinionators saying different things, and pretty soon the thing that is just rumored or speculative becomes almost as ubiquitous as fact. And as you say, sometimes that can raise a level of hysteria that's not at all good. And certainly not warranted. And it'd be good if everybody would just wait and let's do the investigation. They'll do it pretty painstakingly down there, I'm sure.
If this shooting would have happened in Shawnee County, do you think the shooter would have been granted probation?
No. I don't think this guy's going to get probation.
Yeah, but I think that your humorous comment is well put. I am not an expert, but it does make me crazy. I don't understand, and I feel like the justice system has an obligation to try to explain to us, the citizens who are there acting on our behalf, why they let people go and the reasons. I look at this example. You know, we're thrilled right now that this teacher's aide, that New Mexico is at least going to prosecute her, who was granted this probation because she was engaged in a long relationship with a student, which is, it's just wrong. And for the, as I understood, the judge involved to say something to the effect of, well, the young man doesn't seem to have any problems. As long as I don't hurt them, I can drive drunk, right? I mean, if I follow this kind of logic.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to the Gallardo story. You know, as far as judicial sentencing in this community, our plumbing instructor out of the women's prison, and that's what we spent an hour talking about on the show Monday morning with one of the former guards and two of the former inmates. This guy admitted having sex with six inmates, one of which became pregnant. Now, who's putting a hit on who? I don't know. 50-50, according to the former inmates that were in here. You know, half of the time he was putting the hit on them, half of the time they were putting the hit on him. But it makes no difference. Bottom line, this guy was a correctional officer. Well, the plumbing, he was an instructor out there, which makes him the same thing. He was in charge and took advantage of six women. This is rape. R-A-P-E, there's no other way. You know, you can put lipstick on a pig, but the end result is you still have a pig. Any way you want to constitute this, this was rape. And the guy gets probation in Shawnee County. Probation. Six cases. Six. And the guy walks off with probation.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Rick Anderson was in earlier this morning. Bob Eddy was my scheduled guest, and he's coming back Friday, by the way, folks. He'll be with us next Friday. But Rick Anderson and I were talking about the whole judicial sentencing in Shawnee County and whether retention of judges is a good idea or a bad idea. Should we elect our judges? Should we vote to retain? And I know out of our 53 judicial districts in the state, roughly half elect, half retain, vote to retain. It's always concerned me getting into election of judges. But who's going to contribute to a judicial candidate? That's going to be an attorney that has a vested interest as far as getting that friendly judicial decision made if he contributes to the right candidate. But retention, how much do we really know as voters when we go in to vote whether to retain or not retain a judge? And are we in the media doing a good enough job as far as educating the public to make sure ensuring that they are making an informed decision? So let's talk about this whole judicial issue, if we could, for a few minutes.
It's a little bit complicated. It would be difficult to be a judge today, I think, because of issues like we just talked about, plus the legislature passing sentencing guidelines that say, okay, here's how you take a look at this judge. And, you know, the legislative process can often result in a law that's kind of confusing, lets a lot of discretion be left on the table. And sometimes not. And the judge has to sit there and say, okay, look, does this person warrant this particular kind of treatment, even though the sentencing guidelines mandate that he get it? But what, maybe there were extenuating circumstances or something. And the judge has to take those kinds of things into consideration, whether this person is a miscreant that's going to do it again or whether he's not. He's learned his lesson or she has. And all of those things seem to me to be extraordinarily complicated, and they're all dealing with human behavior and human understanding.
A tough job.
And that's tough. That's
but,
tough.
John, when you go on to vote, you know, 75% historically, and the percentages haven't changed much over the past 20 years,
mm-hmm.
75% of the voters that vote on retention of judges will vote to retain 25%. The percentages really haven't changed much throughout the years. It's a 75-25 split. Do you feel comfortable when you go in to vote on retention or non-retention? And how do you vote? If you don't know a judge...
If you don't know him well...
Which way do you go?
Usually what happens is if there hasn't been any big issue where somebody has raised sand about the decision that the judge made on some particular case
and it's become a, some kind of a cause célèbre out there. If it hasn't happened, we generally vote to retain, because why not? I mean, why would you vote against a guy just because he's a judge? I mean, you don't have any other reason. Nobody has surfaced anything for you. There usually isn't any opponent out there running against him saying, okay, this guy did the wrong thing on that case and this case and the other one. And so you end up saying, I don't remember anything negative about this particular judge. So you give him the benefit of the doubt.
General, you know, the same questions, and it comes back to judicial sentencing is the reason I've really got some questions pertaining to our current system. Apparently, you can burn down four churches in Topeka. You know, you can do just horrendous damage to a clock tower, an historical site in this community, as well as desecration of a cemetery.
Cemetery.
And you get probation. Again, it's another case of some of the unique judicial decisions that are being made in our community. How do we solve this? Do we stay with our retention method? Should we, as media, individuals in the media, should we be getting more involved as far as attempting to educate our voters as to what decisions are being made by our district judges? What's the solution?
I wish I were better prepared to offer a slam dunk solution, but I'm not. The challenge in this is there's so... the complexity of all of this, we look to people in the law to go through extensive education to understand it, and yet, and most of us, most of our understanding of the law is from watching TV and movies,
reading
books, which I'm certain are not accurate as to procedure or legal precedent. So we run into situations where we see a situation like the juveniles associated with, and juveniles not the best word for it, because they certainly were acting like adults, who get probation, and then we seal the records so that no one can know what went into all of this. And I think that's probably one of my biggest complaints is that the public ought to be owed an explanation of why something was done the way it was. And that's a good place to start.
You think we need to rethink, you know, sealing records for juvenile offenders?
I think that I'm an open records kind of guy. I believe that over time, openness is better than closed, because when you pull that back, all you do is let people assume the worst. And right now, in terms of that whole case associated with the Menninger Clock Tower, the desecration of the churches and the cemetery. My worst is it was a horrible collusion that let people off scot-free, basically, and caused pain in something that just reinforces the bad behavior that caused it. So unless you explain it to me otherwise, what am I supposed to think when I see this from a distance?
Yeah, it's difficult, and as you say, we don't know the whole story. We don't know how the judge reasoned it, what all went on there, you know, what extenuating circumstances were there, if there were any, and would we have made the same decision? We don't know, and that's, you almost have to know that information in order to judge whether the judge did the right thing.
John, let's pretend election day is tomorrow. On the ballot is a question. Whether we should retain our current method of judicial selection or whether we should start electing judges in Shawnee County. Let's start with you. How would you vote and why?
The concept of electing judges would put you into a situation where you have two attorneys arguing that the other guy's judgment isn't any good, or that the existing sitting judge made bad decisions and the new guy coming in says, I'll do it better. I'll make sure that guy goes to jail. I won't give him probation or something like that. And so then we've got a hanging judge against somebody who's more of a humanist to try and figure out how to help this person be a good citizen. It's a tough thing to do, to evaluate judges in an election, a competitive election situation. And we've gotten politics so polarized and so controversial, I guess, that I just don't think I'd like electing judges. I think appointing them is good, and retention is good also.
Jim Ogle?
I think one of the real challenges with the election of judges is that fundamentally it becomes so far down ballot. And while all politics is local, you know, when you go into the polls and you have a ballot that you're starting off with, say, electing the president and the vice president of the United States, and then you're moving in statewide offices you hear about a lot about, and then possibly, and this isn't the case with us because we operate in a different cycle, but, you know, then you've got city representation in many cases, and then there are a couple of bond issues, stuff like that. It is very hard for people to adequately inform themselves on all things, particularly when so much of some of these things is so technical. And you know, in places where they elect judges, much of what I have read and seen says it's fraught with the kind of manipulation in a short focused campaign that doesn't add any intelligence to the process. It just adds a lot of heat. And as John was saying, we are often so polarized on issues that maybe there's no way to avoid being polarized, but in this, why do we add a whole other level to it? But there's got to be some way to change the canons so that judges at least start out with the responsibility of explaining their decisions and their rulings. At least then, if you had that kind of record more visible, you could do a comparison when you're going to the poll to retain or not, the way we have it now, that you could at least have more knowledge. But I don't understand. When you seal all the records, you don't tell me why. I'm lost.
I like the idea of continuing to seal the records, but have the judge have to issue an explanatory paper saying, here's why I did what I did. Here's why this decision was made. And he could undoubtedly do that in such a way that he doesn't reveal private information and stuff that shouldn't be out into the public. Still seal the records, protect the juvenile, and yet say, I did it because of the following. 1, 2, 3.
Let's move on to the next story. I've got one that I want to talk about. It's a national story, but John Arnold, your top story of the week. Well, what's at the top of your list?
Well, until last night, probably would have been the continuing economy, both nationally and locally, and how it affects jobs, but also you see in the paper this morning about the joint budget committee of the state met yesterday and looked at revenue and needing to cut another $250 million or something like that.
What is keeping the Dow propped up? You know, now we're officially at 10.2% unemployment.
Yep. As of this morning, yeah.
And I just checked the Dow, it's up 13 points,
really?
As we speak.
Well,
why?
It's a good question.
They're getting
why?
Into the economy.
Because making money doesn't mean that people are employed. When your economy is based on service and financial instruments, and a lot of these companies, you know, a lot of the banks that we helped tide them over by letting them kite their checks, so to speak, and offer them a little money, you know, took that, reestablished themselves, and now are pulling down a round of record profits. Now, the interesting thing is I heard one of the people talking about, you know, with the payback from all a number of these various things, the government may actually get more money back than it put in, which was what happened with savings and loans a while
That'll
ago.
That'll be a nice surprise.
But imagine if you and I could operate knowing that if we do make a mistake, hey, the federal government's going to come in and bail us out. You know, that opens up all sorts of you know, which you prudently do. Now, I'm scared that this will be a jobless jobless recovery. But the problem is they always like. Let's remember that was the last time we were at 10.2% was in '83,
right?
And within a year, it was morning in America. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And Ronald Reagan was reelected with one of the greatest majorities in history.
I think he was 37,000 votes from getting every single state.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. Consequently, if you are going to have a recovery, it can happen quickly enough that we all forget the 10.2%. But it's scary right now because it means that one out of every five households right now has one. who is dealing with this sort of thing or is an underemployed.
Yeah, and the Congress is adding some additional unemployment benefits. They've now got it up to, I believe it's 92 weeks of unemployment that you can get. And that's a long time to be unemployed and to be picking up, I guess the average nationwide is $300 a week for unemployment. And most people can't make that work, but you can subsist, I guess, if you've got somebody else in the household working and can pay your mortgage along the way. But then they've also extended the housing credit, and that just happened the past couple of days, and I don't fully understand it, so that the housing credit, tax credit, goes not to just first-time home buyer, but to somebody who's been in the house for 5 years, or maybe more, I'm not quite sure. Don't know how that all works. I haven't seen a story on it yet in detail. I haven't tried to look at it, but we're trying to do a lot of stimulus things, and apparently they're close to passing some kind of health reform. Don't know what that is.
So-called.
At this point. Yeah.
So-called.
I know. A 1,900-page bill, I'm sorry, nobody understands it. It's not possible. You know, I mean, just to toss it out there, read it and understand it.
Flying right under the radar screen, unfortunately, is cap and trade. This one, you know, might slip through since all of the focus and attention is on healthcare. Hey, I want to read a few emails that have come in. We're getting a little behind. I think I've gotten four or five emails on our Snopes question that we were talking about earlier. Folks, if you see something on the Internet, check it out on Snopes. This one's from Terrence. It says, they can't read the bills they vote on, but they can play solitaire and check ball scores. Nothing else needs to be said. This is one of their three-day work weeks that we all pay for. I'm ready to start from the beginning. But voting out all elected officials and not letting any of them stay in office for more than two terms. No more lifelong health care, retirement, voting on their own pay raises, taking perks on our taxes, etc. And this one's from Old Bill. It says, Jim, there has to be a conflict in that sentence. Dig it up and find the connection. I wonder what sentence
dig
we
it
talked
up
about.
And find the connection.
Yeah, we talked about several unique sentences that have been awarded here in Shawnee County. I'm not sure.
Well, if all the records are closed, it's doggone hard to figure out on a sentencing what occurred and why.
Yeah, true. Good point. Okay, I'm not going to read these one on Snopes. I think we pretty much have covered the Snopes. So, Bill, if you want to email us back, and we would be delighted to talk to you. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can continue on the economy. And I'm going to tie this into politics. And I think the two stories.
That's a surprise.
Oh, well, I'm sure that is surprising to everybody listening. Stay tuned. More to come.
CJOnline.com has been upgraded, and it's an entirely new way for you to experience your community.
More than ever, CJOnline.com has what you need when you need it.
As your morning starts, CJOnline.com is updated with overnight news, weather, and the morning buzz.
Throughout the day, they bring you developing stories, interaction, and commentary.
In the evening, they recap the day in news and sports and feature their local bloggers.
Experience the local news and sports at CJOnline.com.
Your 24/7 Northeast Kansas news connection.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. As soon as you get your diagnosis, you can go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the Internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Canada Drug of Topeka provides a safe and easy way of delivering prescriptions to your door and saving you money every day.
Are your medication costs spiraling out of control? Is Plan D really saving you any money once you reach the donut hole? For many of us, saving money on skyrocketing medication costs has become a vital way of controlling those tight monthly budgets. I'm Eric with Canada Drug. We're locally owned and operated, have been for over 5 years. serving your friends and neighbors, helping them save thousands of dollars yearly on essential prescription medications. To find out how you can have more medication at the end of your month for less money, call us at Canada Drug today, 785-272-6100, or visit us just east of Wanamaker on 17th, between Applebee's and McDonald's.
Savings for everybody. We're Canada Drug.
Canada Drug of Topeka, 272-6100.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
We're back with Jim Cates at CJOnline.com, your source for live internet news, opinion, interviews, and conversation in Topeka. Here's Jim.
Okay, we're back. Golden Corral 16th and Wanamaker, folks, the best buffet you're going to find anywhere in Northeast Kansas. Why do I say that? Well, in the most recent Best of Topeka contest, you have named the Golden Corral as the best buffet. Yep. It certainly is. They're open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, and they're open on Saturdays and Sundays for breakfast as well. So if you're looking for a great, great buffet, you've got to check out the Golden Corral. 16th and Wanamaker, Daryl Dahman and Associates. Great staff as well. Okay, Jim Ogle, John Arnold, they are in studio. We're talking about the top stories of the week. And Jim, I know we talked about one of yours. And John, you wanted to talk about our economy on the national and state level as well. And I want to tie this into politics, and I want to tie it into Tuesday's election, where we elected a Republican governor of Virginia, a Republican governor of New Jersey, and the Democrats picked up a House seat in upstate New York, which I think all of this ties into the economy, and I say that because looming just over the horizon is this national health care bill, and the price tag, this could go up to $1 trillion. Depending on whether you're watching MSNBC or Fox.
Well,
but it's going to be a hefty price tag, I think, regardless of where we're getting our primary news source from. So I think these elections, it pretty much ties into the economy story.
It's certainly connected. One of the things that kind of irritates me is that anybody, whether they're for it or against it, they'll say this cost is going to be over 10 years, $1 trillion. Well, I'm sorry, 10 years, how about over 50 years? You know, if you want to make big numbers, go for 50 years, you know. But let's talk about what the annual cost is to start with, and then it's going to grow so much a year and so on. Let's be reasonable about our doing our cost estimates, not this 10-year thing.
But are you looking at the election? You know, we turned out a Democrat governor in Virginia. We turned out a Democrat governor in New Jersey.
Sure.
You think this is because Obama's policies are failing?
Well,
on the economic front?
No, I think, let's take New Jersey, for example. Governor Corzine, how do you say it? Corzine? He's a Wall Street guy. He spent $24 million of his own money and lost the election. But he won it with spending his own money 4 years ago because he's a big Wall Street financier who made a ton of money. Well, people from Wall Street are not held in the highest esteem, even if you live across the river in New Jersey. You know, there's still a little bit of a stigma, I suspect. But also, it was a jobs issue, an economy issue. They said we want to, the man who won, Christie, apparently went after saying, hey, Corzine hasn't done anything for the economy and for jobs, and he hit that pretty hard. And then Corzine came back with kind of a nasty ad hominem kind of a attack on Christie for being too heavy, basically.
And it was from that moment in the campaign that their numbers started to come together rather than go apart.
Is that right? Have you pull yours?
Oh, I thought it was close enough. There we go.
Oh, you're there.
No, it's from that moment in the campaign when Corzine made fun of him as too fat to be governor. Well,
fat to be fit.
Yeah, and then you know, by the same token, I guess people could have voted. Well, if the governor wasn't being driven around at 85, 90 miles an hour over the roads,
right.
Remember, Corzine nearly died a year ago when his driver was doing 25, 30 miles over the speed limit to get him from one location to the other. Those little things have a way of coming back to visit. Most of the exit polling, if you can believe the exit polling, said that there were no national per se issues. This wasn't a referendum on President Obama or anything like that. It was local and specific to there, and Virginia was local and specific to there. Again, you know, the worst unemployment rate we're comparing to, 10.2% right now, was 1983. Within a year, we're reelecting Ronald Reagan, and by the greatest majority any president had had since Washington. So things can turn. It can mean nothing. But right now, we want to stand. We stand there and scream as if everything means something. We're not a parliamentary democracy where by-elections really have that kind of impact along the way.
And again, you know, if people are tying Obama, you know, to our economic failure, because we're not making a lot of headway. Well, the Dow's recovering some. But in terms of our employment numbers, we're not making much headway, and we're going in the opposite direction. But it might show that voters have a very, very short memory, because the economic collapse occurred under George W. Bush's watch, when we had $4 a gallon gas. And to blame all of this on Obama, believe you me, I am no Obama fan when it comes to his economic policies. And I don't think Obama's doing anything to restore America to its former greatness. But he didn't cause this. George W. Bush, this has still got to be laid at George W. Bush's doorstep as far as causing the situation we've got now. Tax credits to run 4 million manufacturing jobs out of this country. We'll never see these 4 million manufacturing jobs return to America. They're gone.
Yeah,
and we gave the incentives to these multinational corporations to take these jobs out of our country. So, I don't know. I guess going back to voters might have a very short memory. If, in fact, this was a referendum on the economy, I don't know that it's really fair. And, again, God knows I'm not defending Obama, but I'm not sure that it's really fair to lay this at his doorstep at this particular juncture.
No, less than
a year into his...
You're right, Jim. We have 145 million people in the workforce in this country. And we're down to 14 million manufacturing jobs. Most of the manufacturing is being done in India and China and being imported here. And it's unfortunate. But they also said in the BLS numbers today on unemployment that the loss of jobs was in construction, manufacturing, and retail. And the retail speaks to consumer confidence when those jobs go away, because people are not buying and people are saving their money. They're holding back. And that makes the Dow kind of an anomaly also, if it's held up. People have to get out there and be spending before the confidence is going to come back, and the Dow will continue to grow and business will continue to prosper, because that's what we do. We are a consumer society. And if we're not spending, business isn't booming.
And we as consumers share the ultimate blame of those manufacturing jobs leaving.
That's right.
Bluntly put, we walk into Walmart, and we expect Walmart to have driven the price down on that toaster oven, or that television, or that computer, and consequently, if the same thing could be made cheaper somewhere else, we immediately buy it to save the extra $3. Or whatever associated with it.
So what's our solution? Our left of center elected officials pass a minimum wage bill increasing our minimum wage. Minimum wage is always going to be relative. Anytime you increase the minimum wage, every other salary is going to go up proportionately over the very short period of time. You increase the minimum wage, cost of goods have to increase. You know, when you raise the minimum wage, McDonald's is going to charge more for their hamburgers. They're going to charge more for their French fries. We've run jobs out of this country. You know, we've just priced ourselves out of the market in so many cases. Why do we keep doing this to ourselves?
We keep doing it because we're constantly looking for the cheapest deal.
But it can't be a cheaper deal if you're forcing a manufacturer to pay more to produce that widget, whatever it may be.
No, but by the same token, that's either the job moves out of the country or they shut down because they can't compete with the cheap goods produced elsewhere that the public demands. If there wasn't a demand for the cheap goods, they wouldn't be run out of business. You know, even now, Chrysler is saying that it's going to make a profit next year. which would be an extraordinary turnaround for what seemed to be that was the one that the Obama administration said couldn't be saved. And so that's they right. didn't help. And now the fiat people and everything say it's going to turn a profit next year.
Yeah, and who could have believed that Ford would have turned a $1 billion profit in a year? Well, not taking any federal money.
You know, Ford stood there on the sidelines and was the good Joe to prop up, to go with GM and to go with Chrysler to beg. But we don't need any thank you. And they really have positioned themselves much more effectively. It'll be interesting to see if that great flip is going to occur. In terms of what Americans' perceptions in moving forward as the number one domestic car maker. But again, what's domestic? You know, one of the biggest industrial employers in many states is quote, the foreign car maker. I know in Kentucky, Toyota's 8,000 jobs.
I wrote a piece a few months ago about what is an American car because somebody was saying that how they want it. Is that it? That's it.
There we go.
What's an American car? Because Ford, you can buy a
great
Ford
color.
Where the headquarters is in Michigan, but the Ford is made in Mexico. Or the Lincoln is made in Canada. And you say, okay, what is an American car nowadays? And, of course, you buy any car, and you've got parts made from all over.
Well, the Toyota I'm driving had that little percentage thing on it.
Oh, did it really?
It was like 84%. Domestically produced, it said on the sticker. but all that money, but the profit went to Toyota Manufacturing Incorporated, a wholly owned subsidiary of Toyota, T-O-Y-A-D-A, in Japan.
Of course. Yeah.
And you want an economy that is ill and a country that is frozen. That's where the Japanese are right now. And are suffering significant economic problems.
Yeah, the profits, you know, the ultimate corporate profits go to Japan. But we're employing 40,000 Americans manufacturing the Toyotas. So it's...
Which is okay.
Yeah, it's a tough one, you know, as far as really defining what is an American car anymore. And we had quite a heated conversation about this. A few friends got together a couple of weeks ago. That's the reason I'm carrying your column. I ran half a dozen copies, and I distributed those half a dozen to friends of mine.
Good.
We're really, you know, heatedly discussing what is an American-made car.
Is the royalty check coming in the mail?
Yeah.
Well, you know, tying, you know, the economy into Tuesday's elections, I don't know whether we can read too much. I'm pretty much in agreement as far as the election of a Republican governor in Virginia, a Republican governor in New Jersey. But what about electing a Democrat member of Congress in upstate New York?
Oh, yeah.
And this was started off to be a three-way race. We had a Democrat. We had, I think, a Republican in name only, but a registered Republican, happened to be a Republican assembly member in New York State. She was representing the Republican Party. And then we had a member of the Conservative Party running. Now, this was a traditional Republican seat held by the Republicans for 150 years. And for the first time, a Democrat was elected. What should we read into this, if anything, on a national level? Or, again, are we going back to all politics is local?
But
is there any significance?
I think the biggest significance, Jim, was it became kind of a national issue with Sarah Palin endorsing the Republican conservative candidate who was defeated.
Yeah, Conservative Party candidate.
Okay, Conservative Party. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some of the other talk folks like Fred Thompson, doing likewise, and just indicates perhaps that the reach of those three is not that great.
They've got about as good a coattails as President Obama does.
There you go. Yeah.
The Republican who leaves that seat to become Secretary of the Army in the Obama administration is leaving a seat that New York loses, I think, three congressional districts. This was one because of its position that was going to be carved up by the legislature to put in other ones. There's no future. That limited the people who chose to run in there for the Republicans.
Because it was a two-year gig, basically.
And the reality is that by-elections in congressional districts rarely mean anything in the United States. They mean everything in a parliamentary democracy like Canada or the United Kingdom, but they mean almost nothing because they twist and turn through unique things that are completely, you know, unique to themselves, like Sarah Palin, Rush Limbaugh, and everything trying to get involved to get this conservative across the line. And that doesn't mean that Rush isn't effective at forming an opinion. It means he's not very effective at influencing individual elections.
I might point out that all three of these individuals were right in the respect that they were talking about this woman that had been a 10-year member of the Republican Assembly as a registered Republican. She was a Republican in name only. Because when she dropped out of the race, she had two choices to make. A, endorse the traditional conservative candidate, or B, endorse the Democrat.
Or three, do nothing at all.
Yeah, and she endorsed the Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were touting the fact that she was a Republican in name only, they pretty much hit the nail on the head. But what does this mean to the Republican Party nationally? Because we still have the split in the Republican Party. You have the traditional Republicans, and I look at our, locally, I look at our state Senate. You know, it's controlled by your, I think, Republicans in name only, or moderate Republicans, as opposed to our House, which is controlled by your right-of-center Republicans. And we still have this battle ongoing, nationally, certainly in the state of Kansas. So again, should we read any of this into this election and district in New York?
I think what's going to be much more interesting is to see the development. You know, you keep talking about Republicans in name only, rhinos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for us to start talking about dinos, because there is significant movement right now on both coasts in the Democratic Party among the real left, the equivalent of our right. Conservatives in Kansas is the left there, who are frustrated, incredibly frustrated with President Obama. He has not moved far enough, quick enough. He is acting like a Democrat in name only, and the Blue Dog Democrats, they control what's going to happen on health care. They control, or going to control, a number of these issues going forward. And I think that we're going to start hearing people talk about dinos like we talk about rhinos here soon, and that's on a national basis.
And maybe that's a positive set of trends that will pull both sides closer together. As we look at the state level, I think you're seeing a lot more of right and left, or Republican and Democrat, saying, look at the state funding situation. We're in serious trouble, and we're going to have to do some rethinking on everything. And this idea that we could say no new taxes, maybe we've got to rethink that, because we've got to pay the bills or cut some significant services that's going to hurt an awful lot of people. And they're talking about that now, and I think that's probably good to have them think about other things than just saying, okay, here's my rigid position on one side and here's my rigid position on the other. But to come together and say, okay, let's figure it out. You know, let's work together. And, you know, I like the example of Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, both deceased, so, we're not doing anything for them. They'd fight, take their positions, but then they'd sit down and compromise, and at the end of the day, go sit down and have a glass of whiskey together. You know?
And swap stories.
Tell lies to each other, yeah.
And I think that the ability to talk with each other is such an important part. Politics, you have to be able to move past this issue to whatever the next is. Now, what I think is going to be very interesting is that unless something extraordinary happens, you know, Sam Brownback will become the next governor of the state of Kansas. He has an incredible challenge to reinvigorate the economy, and I don't think Sam Brownback's going to... proposal is going to be to come in and raise taxes.
We're going to talk about this next Friday when Bob Beatty's on the show. Where does Mark Parkinson go? Where does he fit into this long-range picture?
Parkinson goes in the private sector for another 4 or 5 years and makes an extraordinary amount of money.
He's already made the extraordinary amount of money.
And he's going to make money. You know, Warren Buffett is really rich, but he doesn't. You know, he's still trying to be rich.
Yeah.
And I think that, I think the governor is sincere in what he's saying about not running. And the desperation of the Democrats to get him to reconsider is the only thing they have going for them right now. I do not see any messiah for the Democratic Party right now in terms of the governor's race, unless there's some extraordinary event occurs that we can't foresee, associated with Senator Brownback and his desire, I think, the anointment to become governor. Now, you did talk about the one race I thought was the most interesting, and that was one of the richest men in America, the mayor of New York, spends $100 million.
Yeah.
I was getting pop-up ads on Sports Illustrated sites and, you know, ESPN, a vote for Mike. I mean, clearly not targeted. It was, the guy was writing, like, he won like 54-46
mm-hmm.
over a guy who spent 1/40th of the amount of money that he did to run for mayor. I think it shows that
a need for campaign finance reform, number one. Because he has spent, now it's, the total is now approaching, rapidly approaching $300 million.
What total for
his public life? Contributions that he's made.
His,
for his mayoral runs. Yeah. You know, when you take a look at the other race, close to $300 million.
Well, he's an economic stimulus package all on his own.
You're not kidding.
Now, what I think we should ask him to do is we should invite him to run for mayor, governor of the state of Kansas. He's got time to establish residency before it would take effect. Let's get him out here and have him drop some of that change here locally.
Yeah, sure. You're in the advertising business.
I would love it. I promise you we'll spend it.
Why don't we?
Does Gray Television, do you own a station in Des Moines? Do you own a station in Iowa?
We own no stations in Iowa at this time.
Okay. Because that has to be the cash cow, you know, for companies such as Gray.
Because of
your presidential caucuses.
Sure, sure.
The money that's poured into that state, you know, for a three-year period.
The most incredible television station in the country is, I forgot the callers, but it's Channel 9, and it's in Manchester, New Hampshire.
It is
the only New Hampshire-based television station. For that 6 months leading up to the primary, all presidential candidates are on the first-name basis with people who are basically 2 years out of school. And are now moderating debates among presidential candidates. You know, they walk in and they basically don't run spots for anything but presidential candidates. I mean, talk about writing checks. That's the incredible thing. Clearly, Des Moines and the markets in Iowa are like that because of the caucuses. Uh-huh. In our last few general elections, Ohio has been that.
Sure.
Television stations and even radio stations in Ohio had a huge dividend in the last few election cycles because so much was in play in the states.
Back to Bloomberg for one quick moment because I know we're running out of time. But Bloomberg also raised taxes in New York significantly and backed a smoking ban. Very big change in New York and how things happen with the bars and restaurants that they have going on and the taxes and the high-income people, because it was income tax that he raised. And still he wins 54-46.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So I think that's kind of significant. But I think we're going to see a lot more of... I was going to say also, I heard Mark Parkinson speak recently, and he spoke very well about bipartisanship. And, of course, being a Republican Party chairman and then a Democratic governor, he knows wherever he speaks. But he did it very, very well. And Brownback, if he comes in as governor, he's going to have a hard time.
Save the program that he had helped build.
Another Snyder miracle at work.
Chuck J.
What a game. The spread is 3 points, and that line hadn't moved much, so what a game. Okay, Dave Jackson on deck. Stay tuned. More to come.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jim. Jim?
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, welcome back. Hey, coming up Monday morning on the show real quick, we've got Tim Richer, of course, coming in at 8. We're going to be talking about recent happenings at City Hall and our courthouse. 8:30, Chuck Lauer and Risa Quinn are coming in, and Chuck Lauer is the primary sponsor for a new bowl, the Kansas Bowl, and that's going to be coming up in December. We're going to be talking about that. And at 9 o'clock, Topeka Mayor Bill Button will be joining me. So that's our lineup Monday morning. Bob Beatty is going to be with us next Friday. And joining me in studio, good morning, Dave Jackson.
Good morning.
Let's see. Let me
I'm
get
not
you
on there, yet here, but there we go. Now I can hear it.
You're on now.
Okay.
And how has your day been?
It hadn't been great, but then we'll get through it.
You and I were visiting. About the start to your day, well, we all have those occasionally.
Right.
Kind of Murphy's Law at work. Nothing just really seems
to I didn't mention to you before the on-air is also that we've got grain trucks lined up at Cargill that are blocking the road. So I had to have a little chat with the Cargill folks about getting their trucks, the grain trucks pulling in and get them away from, of course, the gates and, and off the public streets. They're lined up down Vail Avenue, past Lower Silver Lake Road, and then, of course, there's trucks also trying to turn from the west on Lower Silver Lake Road, and those semis, of course, make those roads one lane, which makes it really difficult when you come to a four-way stop and you only have one lane.
Is that a seasonal problem? Is this normally the time of the year
this
where
is the worst
have
we've,
trucks?
This is the, yeah, this is normally the year, but this is the worst we've ever had it backed up to our place with semis. They have half a mile of driveway down there that if they just get somebody out there to park the trucks, it wouldn't be a problem. I mean, get them pulled up side by side or three across or something to use the driveways that they have down there. But instead, they didn't do that. So I had to have a chat with the manager down there on the way in. That's why I'm running a minute or two late.
The reason is this because of the per bushel yield has been that much higher this year?
Well, that's part of it. Part of it, I expect.
Because this has been a great growing season.
It has, and it's running a little later than normally. It's they've had to concentrate their efforts because usually soybeans, you'll get started cutting some of those even as late as mid to late September, and corn as well. So the crop is 25% harvested when normally it'd be 80 to 90% harvested. So this weather, this drying weather, finally the crop has dried down. See, grain elevators would not take grain that was above 17 or 16.5% moisture. So consequently, the farmers had to leave it in their fields to dry up until the grain elevator would actually take it. So that's pushed the season all the way back because of the unusual amount of rain we've had this year. And October, first 2 weeks, were all rainy, wet, and cold. So
is this going to be ongoing for, a month or so?
Well,
Cargill challenge, or how long does this last as far as this being a seasonal challenge for you?
I would expect that they'll have, this will be the big week, and from now on out, it should be, crops should be getting harvested You know, it's a clear week and everybody's out, good breeze. Probably go right through the weekend.
Wow.
I imagine they'll be open Saturdays and Sundays and 24 hours.
But, folks, you can still get to Jackson's Greenhouse
still
Garden
can,
Center
yeah.
at 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road.
Yeah.
Come in from the north.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have the Cargill trucks. Coming in from the west, not going to be bothered. Coming in from the east, you're okay.
Yeah.
It's just coming in from the south.
That'd be where the challenge is.
If there is a challenge, that would be it.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, they said they'd try to get it taken care of, and I said, well, it's either that or let the police department do it.
Yeah.
They can figure out a way.
Before we get into gardening and lawn care,
yes.
Your prediction tomorrow.
We
just had John Arnold. We just had Jim Ogles. Jim Ogle predicting K-State victorious.
Mm-hmm.
John Arnold, Jay Hawker
mm-hmm.
came up with a different conclusion.
Well, he's a KU fan, and he's got to support the home. His favorite. And looking at it purely, it depends on which team shows up tomorrow for the Hawks and for the Cats. Because, I mean, the Cats could easily have a game plan or not be focused on that quarterback, Todd, as well as they should be. And he is absolutely dangerous. If he's got just a second, he can get the ball down to Briscoe or Meyer in a heartbeat. He's got a quick release and scrambles well and seems like he greases his jersey because he can be surrounded by players and slip out and pass. So that's what scares me about the Jayhawks is their 1-2-3 punch there, Reising, Meyer, and Briscoe. But.
And Reising is the most exciting quarterback to watch in the Big 12, I think. Whether you're a Jayhawk fan or not, folks, this guy is just fun to watch.
He is.
He is the consummate competitor, no doubt about it. Yep.
You're absolutely right. He is. And although K-State's quarterback has
Gregory.
Gregory has...
Incredible.
He runs hard. He's got good athleticism. And his accuracy is improving. He didn't to the Reising level yet, but he's getting better. And it was a good transfer to have a sixth-year senior come in for one more year. It just worked out really well. And that's part of the Snyder era. They had Snyder era coaches directing this guy over to us.
Mm-hmm. Came out of South Florida, I believe.
Right. Because the college there didn't really offer the degree he wanted. And education was more important. So he came over, and he's part of the reason of K-State's success. We just didn't pop with Kaufman. Carson's a great kid and comes from good stock. Paul Kaufman's his dad.
Kaufman's a junior, though, isn't he?
I don't know. I thought he was a senior.
Is he a senior?
Yeah.
You might be right. Yeah, he had 4 years of backing up Josh Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the timing could have been a little better for Kaufman, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, we could be looking at another Snyder miracle.
Yeah. Could. Yeah. Absolutely could. So.
Who would have thought we would have won 5 games?
Are you going to the game?
No.
No?
No. No.
Oh, my.
No. Wish I was. This would be a good one to go to. Mm-hmm. My grandson's been bugging me all week.
Mm-hmm.
Grandpa, do we have tickets? No, we don't. So.
Well, KU turned in 1,000, so there's tickets available.
Yeah, that amazed me.
Well,
KU was turning tickets back in.
Right. And then, of course, K-State had 2,000 left the other day as well of the general admission.
Yeah.
And so, anyway.
Those have got to be, well, they're up in the corner. And,
or on the end, the north end would be... Yeah. Where the extra seats generally are.
Yeah, yeah.
North end zone.
Well, you know, I have a couple of small wagers every week.
No.
Don't this week on this game.
Really?
No, I'd love to see K-State win. But, boy, I'll tell you, this could go either way.
That's
the reason the point spread's 3 points.
It still is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, I just hadn't.
KU still favored?
Yeah, yeah. 3-point spread.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, you know, most fans would agree. Player by player, out of the 22 players that are going to be on the field, plus your special teams, KU has a better team, athletically.
Right. Athletically, there are.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But again, looking at just the Snyder discipline.
Right.
And the fact that
K-State. And the
chemistry. Yeah. You know, the deeper K-State gets into any season, the fewer mistakes they make. They're just a well-disciplined, well-coached team.
Right.
So, we shall see. At the beginning of the season, the Vegas line was that K-State, you could have bet them winning less than 5.5 games for the season or more than 5.5. In other words, you could bet that they were going to win 5 or less mm-hmm. or 6 or more. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of the season, if I would have made that wager, I would have said 5 or less.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an amazing year.
That's a straight bet. And no, that's a...
Well,
one way or the other, that was that's the way it went.
Pretty much. Okay. I mean, you're betting $11 to win 10,
uh-huh.
and that's how your odds makers make their living. You know, it's that that 5% they have. Mm-hmm. But interesting bet. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing how close they come year in, year out, game in, game out. You know, just pretty much on the money, on what that line should be, mm-hmm. what the spread should be.
They're the pros.
Oh boy, are they?
We need to talk about a little bit about advertising or our, what's going on at the greenhouse before we go to break, I suppose.
Let's do that.
Really quick. You'll note in Annette's tip that what I talked about or what we talked about was that the beautiful fall weather has opened up a whole nother season. We didn't get the weather in October. October was the coldest pretty much on record through the first 3 weeks. I don't know how the total of October turned out, but we got great opportunity now to plant with the soil temperature still in the 50s mm-hmm. and low 60s. Root systems will get established and grow. It's just a great time to plant. We're planting lots and lots of trees as we speak, and got 93 more to plant for the KDOT next week in Wichita.
That's your Wichita project.
We're doing Westridge Mall. There's 21 trees going in there. When we finish up that the dreaded sod project that we talked about. So the guys will be busy all day long there.
Yeah.
So anyhow. And, of course, we're making our phone calls to all of the customers that request us to do so, reminding them to do the winterizer for their lawn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time. We've got several pallets of winterizer in both sizes available for people to come in, pick up, get down on their lawn. And we'll talk about what they need to do before they do it, and what they can expect next year.
Let's talk about the winterizer. Let's get into that when we return from the break.
Great.
There's a lot to talk about, folks.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a question, you can always email us at jim.cates@cjonline.com. It's that simple. Stay tuned.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Provides a safe and easy way of delivering prescriptions to your door and saving you money every day.
Are your medication costs spiraling out of control? Is Plan D really saving you any money once you reach the donut hole? For many of us, saving money on skyrocketing medication costs has become a vital way of controlling those tight monthly budgets. I'm Eric with Canada Drug. We're locally owned and operated, have been for over 5 years. Serving your friends and neighbors, helping them save thousands of dollars yearly on essential prescription medications. To find out how you can have more medication at the end of your month for less money, call us at Canada Drug today, 785-272-6100. Or visit us just east of Wanamaker on 17th, between Applebee's and McDonald's.
Saving for everybody, we're Canada Drug.
Canada Drug of Topeka, 272-6100.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org. It's the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
And we are back.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
What excitement.
I'll tell you, an excitement-packed hour it has been and will continue to be. Let's talk about winterizing our lawns.
Right. This is the time of year to fatten up your lawn for next year. You get your lawn dark green and growing, and the development of the root system, it just helps out next year a whole lot. I mean, if by the winterization, there's really, according to K-State, if you get the right amount of nitrogen down, there really isn't an absolute need to put nitrogen down on the spring in the spring of the year. So you can control weeds with without putting nitrogen down. Now, for those that like a really dark green lawn, they'll go ahead and put the nitrogen down to green it up in the spring, but it's not an absolute necessity. And, of course, by thickening up your lawn right now, your weed pressures next spring are going to be a whole lot less. You're going to have less room for weeds to come up. I mean, weeds are advantageous or take advantage of a situation where there's a poor stand or a weak stand of grass. And if you have a great stand, then there's no room for that seed to come up. So that's the reason for winterization in this month of November. Is a great,
also,
great time to do it for cool season lawns. Forget about soy or Bermuda. You're wasting your money on that right now.
Okay. But as far as the other component into winterizing your lawn, you are killing weeds as well, right?
Well,
that's
can.
Part of it?
You can if you go with the Fertilome All Seasons.
Okay.
It's a weed preventer.
Yeah.
Going forward, it can you can use the Fertilome for All Seasons with Prodiamine. What that does is prevent the weeds, any further weeds from germinating this fall, which is their winter annuals, like chickweed and henbit, dandelions, and next year, all the way through crabgrass and spurge and some of those others, oxalis, the one that looks like the little clover only with a yellow flower. Mm-hmm. All of those things will be prevented throughout next year. So you can substitute the winterization for the Fertilome for All Seasons. And we only recommend that if that's been a problem in your lawn in the past. For good thick lawns, you can save the money and get your lawn winterized for about 25% less if you're not putting down the Fertilome with Prodiamine.
Are you selling as much fertilizer this fall as you did last year? And the reason I ask, I was talking to somebody last night, and he knew you were coming on today, and he said, you know, for years I've fertilized my yard in the fall, mm-hmm. but this year everything's so green, I'm not going to bother.
Really?
Now, when you hear somebody make that comment, your response would be?
And, because
it has been a great growing.
It has been a great growing year, but the fact of the matter is, with all the rain and everything, there's no nitrogen available for that grass at this point going forward. So the lawn will go and will decline all winter, and it won't be as quick to recover in the spring. So if he wants a good dark green lawn in next spring, you fertilize it now. That's the response. We are, I think sales are up on our Fertilome products right at almost 28-30% for this fall so far.
Good night.
So anyway.
That's impressive.
That is.
So, you know, he was not the norm.
No.
He was far outside of the norm, saying, I'm just not going to fool with it this fall.
I would recommend if he's not going to do anything else, he needs to winterize right now or sometime between now and Thanksgiving. You and I will be talking about that each week from between now and Thanksgiving. Get out and do it. Now, on the other side, it's past time, or we're between times that you can plant seed. We're not recommending that you overseed in November unless you cover that seed. with a protection. Goodyear, for example, is doing that in an area that had been dug, and they just finished out some trenching and excavation. So they were in today to buy seed, 5 pounds for, they have roughly 400 or 500 square feet. But I got them to put down what's called some Futera netless cover, or you can put straw down. The advantage of the netless cover is it, of course, it's not going to blow away like straw can. Mm-hmm. But that'll protect that seed as it's coming up. Because if we get, I mean, the weather forecast the next 7 or 8 days looks just outstanding. But we don't know what's coming down the line, and that seed would be germinating at that time. And if we have some temperatures in the 20s, your new seed will be frozen. As pure and simple, if it's not protected. So that's why we're putting this, I'm having them put this cover on the seed. So.
How does the, now, if you've got straw over the seed bed, how does the sun get to the seed?
Well,
to germinate the seed. How does
the seed doesn't need to be in the light to germinate? As a matter of fact, it can be dark. So then, as soon as the blade breaks through the straw,
then you need to remove the straw.
Well, if it's not that thick, if you can see the grass through the straw, don't bother removing it. Just let the grass come on up, and when it gets tall enough, 3 inches, mow it down to 2 inches, and the straw will be pulverized and become part of your organic matter for your soil. There's no need to rake the straw off if you've only put it down.
So if you've got a mulching lawnmower, don't rake the straw
off. Right.
Oh, okay. So keep the straw.
Yeah, keep the straw.
Part of
the
bed. Okay.
Yeah, that's the way you do it. So it's all about technique at this time and mind and what the weather in Kansas is likely to do through this period.
Now, when you say straw, what do you mean by straw?
Straw is the wheat. Is the product, the waste product from wheat. And hay, of course, is what you harvest off of prairie fields or alfalfa, or there it can even be clover hay. That's a product that's harvested green and then is prepped before it's baled.
Yeah, where I'm going with this
is
you want to make sure you've got a straw bed and not a hay bed. Because,
right.
Hay, you could be getting into more of a weed.
There can be a real weed problem in hay. The other thing is that it's finer, and it can actually block the seed from coming through it unless it's chopped. And you can use hay. Hay is generally used if you've got one of those commercial choppers. You've seen them where they're blowing that that product out over the seed. Hay can be used for that, and as well as straw. I've done it both ways. But you can't use just hay that's not been processed for mulching.
But relatively speaking, you're going to have a lot fewer problems with straw rather than hay.
Yeah.
Sounds like we're splitting hairs, but we're really not.
Mm-hmm. They're typically a well-tended wheat field is going to have fewer weeds. Now, what it will have, of course, are some grains of wheat come up. You're going to see those, and of course, they'll be done. You're going to keep mowing them, and then they won't ever go to seed, but they'll just mature in late June, early July, and then just go away.
Yeah.
So you will have, depending on how good that farmer was, you'll have some wheat seeds come up.
And as it matures, it turns brown, so don't think you're losing your lawn.
No, right. You're not.
It's just hay
right.
Is maturing and is going to turn brown. That doesn't mean that your lawn is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good point. Okay,
I didn't answer your question. I really think K-State's going to probably be the better team tomorrow. But that's more of a hope than a knowledgeable, except that I have seen K-State play, and I've seen the huge jumps in proficiency that they've made through the season.
I haven't seen
that huge jump in KU's performance through the year. It started good and it stayed good, but it hasn't risen.
Yeah, they're on a 3-game losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And KU, again, a talented team. Mm-hmm. And well-coached. Mangino is a good coach. No doubt about that. Yeah. What a perfect day for a game tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the weather is going to be absolutely ideal.
Mm-hmm. We'll be having barbecued chicken drumsticks and... I'll do some scrambled eggs with some cream of mushroom soup mixed in with it. And maybe a Bloody Mary or two.
Well, I got an email earlier from Terrence.
Did you?
And he's going to be at the game tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I'll have both KU and K-State fans at the tailgate. Mike Morse said he'd stop by from the Kansas Realty or whatever the name of his company is. Justin Glasgow, my cousin who used to play on the offensive line for the Jayhawks, will be there as well. He'll stop by.
So sure. It is going to be a mixed bag.
It will be a mixed group. We're friendly at all, and it'll be interesting.
How do they get tickets?
Well,
KU had an allocation, I guess.
KU had the allocation, and they're both season ticket holders over there for KU, and so they get first crack at the best tickets, which probably are not that good unless they bought them from a K-State fan that didn't go into the game. That'd be where the good tickets would be.
Yeah, yeah. Because this will be a sellout tomorrow. Certainly should.
You think
be.
It will get to there? Well, we hope so.
Yeah, they're, 3,000 seats off?
On Wednesday.
Yeah.
Was it Wednesday or Tuesday?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, earlier in the week, so I would think.
With a beautiful day, you would think people would be out.
Absolutely.
But you're not going to be there.
No.
Such a shame.
No. We're going to be watching the game at some friend's house because it's not going to be on traditional TV.
No versus, they said.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be.
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those high-definition, super-duper, $200 a month Cox packages. I don't know.
Ooh.
You know, we've got, we don't have HBO, Cinemax. We don't have any of that.
Right.
You know, we've got the basic and expanded service from Cox.
I see.
So, yeah. We didn't go for the super-duper, whiz-bang, HBOs, and all of that stuff. We just never watch movies. So,
well,
yeah.
Right.
So no reason to pay for it? Yeah. Hey, we need to take a break.
All
and
right.
Again, folks, jim.cates@cjonline.com. If you've got a question or a comment for Dave Jackson, we would be delighted to hear from you. Stay tuned. More to come.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, we are back with Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center, conveniently located at 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road.
Yep, that's where we've been since 1951, just ahead of the flood, and where we intend to be for a while, if the city's willing to work with us on some possible expansion.
Pull your mic in just
a little bit. Okay, there we go. All right, sorry.
Much better. You're not going. You and Annette aren't going to be around tomorrow. You're going to be in Manhattan.
Right.
But, Jackson's obviously is going to be open because you have some sale items.
We do. We really do. The Roses, of course, are still buy one, get one free. That includes knockouts. That includes carpets. I mean, this is the time. If you're going to load up on roses, this is the time to do it because it's the one time of year that rather than put them away, we'd rather just sell them at half price or buy one, get one free. That way I get rid of two each time we have a sale or sell. 25% off if you're just buying one. But two, buy one, get one free. And the knockout roses start at $14.99, so you can have two knockouts for $15 plus a little bit of tax for the governor and our city. But anyway, that, we've got perennials are the same way. We've got great perennials, great selection of perennials, because we grow them and we got thousands. And our container trees are buy one, get one free, 25% off if you're buying one. But bring a friend and get the other one, whatever. It's a way better buy for you. We've received a semi-load of ball and burlap trees, which are 40% off. Mm-hmm. And we have another semi-load being dug as we speak right now, down and coming up from Oklahoma. And so we're awash in trees.
And not all trees are bald and or burlapped.
Right. Some are container grown. It's just the process that the nursery set up to take care of. It takes a whole different set of equipment, of course, to harvest ball and burlap trees than it does to grow them in containers. It's an entirely different agricultural
It sounds like
endeavor.
It would be a lot more labor-intensive.
What's that? Which one?
The ball and burlap trees.
Well, they have a piece of equipment. Well, in the ground, of course, they have to. Some nurseries root prune so that the majority of that root's going to stay in the ball. Those are the kind of nurseries I try to deal with where your trees are less affected by that digging. But they're dug mechanically, and for most of them, there's if you're going 2-inch or larger, there's a wire basket. The operator just sets there's a helper that sets the burlap in that basket. The operator of the tree spade puts the tree in the basket, in this wire basket, and then the guy that's on the side of it then pins the pins up and wraps it. And it's you can dig a tree every 3 or 4 minutes if you're going down a row and digging them.
That'd be fun to watch.
Well, yeah, we've done it on occasion for some nurseries around here, some small nurseries that don't have that piece of equipment, because that is a major expenditure. That was a $30,000 piece of equipment to purchase and get going, is this tree spade that digs them.
So you've got a tree spade. Mm-hmm. That's what you're using. Yeah.
It's on a ball. It's on a bobcat, articulated bobcat that bends in the middle so it doesn't dig up the folks' turf. And it digs a 32-inch wide hole if we need to. We can adjust it down to 32 is about like so.
Okay.
This is 32 inches, and just short of a yard. But anyway, that's what we use, and it's very quick, very easy. But anyhow, so there's ball and burlap, and there's container trees. That's why we have separate sales, and we have thousands of trees right now because we.
If you want it, you can find it at Jackson's.
For the most part, now you're out of a few items, but that's. At this time of the year, that's something. Got a new red maple coming in called Autumn Fantasy, and it's the new improved Autumn Blaze from the same Dr. Freeman that developed all the Freeman crosses of red maples. What he's done is he has bred back to a silver maple in part to increase the speed of the growth of the red maple. The Autumn Fantasy is one that has a little better holding power on the leaf and a little more color. Purportedly, I have not seen it yet, but it's a brand new tree coming in this next week.
Now they're coming in from where?
This particular load is coming in from Tahlequah, Oklahoma. I've received one load from Morrison, Tennessee, and then I have one load yet to arrive from north of your old stomping grounds, northern Missouri, just north, little town up north. But anyway, we've got 25% off on Dutch bulbs. Our statuary, and we've got a nice selection left. Statuary fountains and bird baths are a third off, because we're going to have to put those away here pretty soon, and I don't want to have to. They're concrete, and that's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But anyway, we've got those a third off. We just have a new. We have six pallets of those that came in this past week that we're getting out. So we've got new stuff to look at as well as what we've had in the past. We have one group of what I'd call the dinged stuff, or the stuff that's been around for more than a year, that's 50% off on your statuary and bird baths. We got kind of a nice selection over there. People ought to come out and take a look, see if there's something they like there. So that's what's going on. We've got a 25% off on houseplants going this week as well, just to move a few houseplants out before the season. If you've got a houseplant that looking a little bit poor and you don't want to have it sitting in there for the holiday season, just get rid of it if it's something you're not enamored with, or if it's not some generational plant. And people have those. Come in and get a new houseplant. We've got plenty. So
that's 25% off, and that sale is going to last how long?
Probably through Thanksgiving.
Okay.
This whole month.
What day is Thanksgiving this year?
That is a really good question. Let's look. It's on my calendar here. We will, of course, that's one of the days of the year that we're actually closed, but of course we'll be open Friday right away. Need to talk too. November the 21st is our Christmas open house, so we'll be having chili and all of that kind of stuff. Thanksgiving is
the 26th.
That's exactly right.
The 26th. Okay. I suppose I need to notate that in my calendar. Okay. Yeah.
My calendar says that Saturday the 28th is the first day of Eid al-Adha.
Who?
I don't know. See what you think.
Saturday the 28th is the first day of Eid al-Adha. Eid al-Adha? I have no idea what that is.
That was a pretty good crack at it.
I don't know what that would be. Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, speaking of that, it appears that, you know, some Muslim holiday, I would assume, or something to do with the Muslim religion.
It would look like, just from that direct.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see where this Fort Hood story takes us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether there was any religious connectivity to this guy that has murdered, what, 13 have now died?
13 have died.
Yeah.
Well, his last words were, or before he started shooting, was "God is great" in Muslim.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier today on the show. You know, it's just religious intolerance just
yes.
really troubles me.
Well, right.
It's created so many problems in this world. You know, it doesn't make any difference to me what a person's religion is, if they're tolerant and respectful of other religions.
Right. It's just a matter of respect.
Absolutely it is. Absolutely. Yeah.
So.
But 13 dead and 31, that could go either way. I understand some of these are on the critical list. What an amazing story. Wow. What a tragic story.
Now, was there anybody else in there? There were two other shooters, is that correct?
Well, the last bulletin we got said, no, they pretty much, it's down to one.
Just the guy, huh?
Yeah, just him.
Huh?
Yeah. But what tragedy. Boy. Mm-hmm. Boy,
awful,
oh boy.
Awful, awful.
Yep.
Anyway, we look forward to seeing anybody that wants to come out. Like I said, 21st of November is our Christmas open house. We'll be doing chili dogs and chili. Annette will be doing the white chili, and I'll be doing the red chili. Mine is, they're both special. Both very, very tasty. And it's free. We just encourage a donation to the Helping Hands Humane Society. We had hot dogs and chicken drumsticks last weekend. The folks from Calvary Lutheran served it. And we achieved about $68 in donations for the Helping Hands.
Oh, really?
Yep. So, got to get that turned in and over to the folks, but it's in my corner of my desk, and, you know, an envelope, and I've got to drop it by. But that's, we thank everybody that supports our shelter here in town. They do a nice job.
Well, I just made a note, so so Nancy can put it on our calendar.
That'd be great.
On Saturday, November the 21st. We'll be out.
I've got to get the card out for sure. We do a mailing. I suppose you receive it.
No, you don't get
my card?
We don't. No. Yeah. I don't think we do. I don't know. Nancy takes care of the mail.
Oh.
I don't know. She hands me the bills to pay. So.
Huh.
I know when we get a bill, because that ends up on my stack.
Your stack. Okay. So you don't see the...
I pick up the mail maybe 2 or 3 days a week, and Nancy gets it the rest of the time.
You don't see the Coldwater Creek catalog or any of those neat things?
No. What's Coldwater Creek?
Oh, my gosh. You have to ask Nancy when you get back. Coldwater Creek is a
big mail order catalog.
Yeah, well, and they also have storefronts and that kind of stuff, but they have stuff that the women think is really cool stuff, and I guess men shop there too. But
are they in Westridge?
Might be. I don't know. I don't go inside. We just plant the trees on the outside.
Okay, it seems like I have seen a Coldwater Creek store on Wanamaker.
You probably
right
have.
East, just newly opened, maybe.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Next to the new barbecue joint, Famous Dave's.
Oh yeah,
I think it's right south of Famous Dave's.
There you
maybe.
Go. See there, I'll
think
look for
I've
it.
Got it. I think I've got it now. Yeah. Have you had Famous Dave's barbecue?
No, I have not.
I have. We've had it in Wyandotte County at Legends, and we had it down at Ransom.
Mm-hmm.
So not bad.
Is that right?
It's okay.
Well, yeah. You'll have to try the Dickies in North Topeka when, gets his Holiday Inn Express.
Oh, Madon Raton.
Madon's gets that open, yeah.
That's the Wenricks, I think, that are putting that in, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I believe, yeah. Yeah, we were down 24 Highway a couple of weeks ago, and Madon Raton's Holiday Inn Express, it looks like it's getting fairly close to being finished.
Well.
And then the strip mall in front of it.
Mm-hmm. On one side. He hadn't broken ground for the east side yet.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious how that's coming. I haven't heard any news about any new tenants in the mall, just the first two, which was Dickie's and Quiznos.
Quiznos.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think he's got a third one. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you who it is. But I saw Madon not too long ago.
Did you? It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah. All happening in North Topeka and within 2 miles of Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center.
Absolutely.
Just a couple of miles east. Hey, we need to take our last break. And again, folks, if you have a question or a comment, jim.cates@cjonline.com. Stay tuned.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Medication costs spiraling out of control? Is Plan D really saving you any money once you reach the donut hole? For many of us, saving money on skyrocketing medication costs has become a vital way of controlling those tight monthly budgets. I'm Eric with Canada Drug. We're locally owned and operated, have been for over 5 years, serving your friends and neighbors, helping them save thousands of dollars yearly on essential prescription medications. To find out how you can have more medication at the end of your month for less money, call us at Canada Drug today. 785-272-6100. Or visit us just east of Wanamaker on 17th, between Applebee's and McDonald's.
Savings for everybody. We're Canada Drug.
Canada Drug of Topeka. 272-6100.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, we're back. Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. Folks, something we haven't done this hour, write this phone number down, because any time that you've got a question on tree plantings, gardening, lawn tips, the whole nine yards, whatever the question may be, you can call Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center 7 days a week, and there's going to be an expert answering the phone that can answer virtually any question you might have. So it's a good number to have at your fingertips, 232-3416, 232-3416. Christmas, I'm looking at your Wednesday ad, is just around the corner. Boy, it really is. This year has absolutely flown. Christmas trees, you're going to have Christmas trees in Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Thanksgiving.
Right, that week before Thanksgiving, then.
The week before. Okay, we're looking at around the November the 20th or so.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up your Christmas tree at Jackson's.
Yeah, they'll be fresh, just fresh cut, come from North Carolina. They're the firs, Fraser fir, which is a really nice quality tree without the needle drop that you experience so much with the pine. They'll be well shaken. They'll be fresh. Quality grower. It's the folks that supplied Hefner's for all those years.
Mm-hmm.
Just a really good quality tree. Good people to deal with in North Carolina. Just a great little company.
Okay. You know, if you're putting your tree up November the 20th,
mm-hmm.
and the tree's going to be up through Christmas, so we're looking at a tree that's going to be sitting in your living room, your business, wherever, for more than a month.
Right.
What do you need to do to ensure the freshness of the tree to where you're not going to have, you know, the pine needles, you know, Christmas Eve all over everybody's presents?
Right. What you do, of course, it's fir. But anyway, you're going to, when you get that home, before you stick it in the water, you're going to cut the lower inch off so that you open up the pores.
For cut
that
the lower what?
Inch off the base so that you've opened up that pore so that tree can absorb water. It will absorb a gallon or more of water after you've set it in that tree. So get a good tree stand that holds a sufficient amount of water to keep that tree hydrated, and it'll continue to absorb water even though it's been cut for the better part of a week or 10 days. There are some fresheners that you can put on, or whatever you want to call it. The jury is, there's still disagreement whether they really do much good or not, but they're packets of nutrient that you can put in that will be absorbed along with the tree that's supposed to keep it greener longer. But to be honest, some research doesn't support that it really makes much difference. Just everybody says they'll cut the tree. If you're going to go directly home and put it in this Christmas tree stand, we'll be happy to cut it for you at our place. We'll have the saws out there and available to cut, to get that fresh cut.
Oh, okay.
But if it's going to be, if it's going to be more than a couple, 3 or 4 hours, then you really ought to freshen that cut, because you don't want that sap that's down there to coagulate and cut off your pores. You need open pores for that water to be absorbed by the tree.
Okay.
So that's the big secret with trees. And then,
so get it in water within 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You can cut that inch off.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to take that tree home, and within a two-hour period, that tree needs to be in the water.
Yeah, even if you can't bring it in the house, get it in a 5-gallon bucket or something. Get it in the water.
Okay.
So if you can do that. We also have an antidesiccant that if you that kind of makes the tree that keeps the tree then from transpiring, the needles from transpiring so much moisture. That'll keep the tree fresher, and it serves as a little bit of a fire retardant as well, but still in all, I wouldn't light a candle to the thing at any point. But we have that too. It's a wilt proof, it's called, is the name of the product. It keeps the tree a little fresher as well if they really want to do that. You know, if the tree's going to be there, say, past New Year's for some reason, if you're going to have a late party or Christmas or something, then it wouldn't hurt to put the wilt proof on as well. And, of course, we'll have live Christmas trees as well. I mean, but those only can be in the house 3 to 5 days. Otherwise, they'll think it's spring and start sprouting. You don't want to do that. But live Christmas trees is another way to go, and we'll talk about that a little more as we get closer to Christmas.
Let's do that. Percentage of families buying a traditional Christmas tree as opposed to the artificial. Have you seen much of a change over the past 30 years?
Yeah.
Percentages?
Yeah.
More people going to artificial, numbers, or?
It appears that there's not huge numbers, but there has been a little bit of a shift. And according to the Christmas Tree Association, I think that we're down to where 50 or 60% still have live trees, the rest are artificial. Annette and I made that shift as well. We've gone to, after the family was grown and gone, we've gone to an artificial tree rather than the big, we used to have about a 9 or 10 foot pine from a local Christmas tree farm always in our our living room. Now that we don't have the kids that want to decorate so much, we've gotten one where we don't have to get up on that big tall ladder and decorate, because it's a trick getting that thing up on the top of a 9 or 10 foot tree.
But 60% of Kansans are still buying a traditional Christmas tree, not artificial.
50 to 60, yeah.
Really? That's not bad.
Not bad.
Yeah, I would have assumed it would.
I think it may have gone as low as 40% at one point, but there's
starting to rebound then.
A little
back to the traditional.
Looks to me like it is, with the younger families kind of like to have a live tree for the kids.
Huh.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I've sold Christmas trees for the Optimus. And by the way, Optimus will be selling trees at Hy-Vee there on the north corner of 29th and
Wanamaker.
And by the way, I've got a credit card machine this year, so you don't have to write a check or have cash. So come get your tree out there. If you're on that side of town, your donation goes to the youth. 100% of that cost of that Christmas tree, or the profit from that Christmas tree, is donated to youth. There's no operating cost or anything taken out of that. We cover that portion of the cost with our dues. 100% goes to youth programs. But so anyway, great opportunity. Plus we'll have our trees on the north side, and I'll if we sell it and you so designate, I'll make a contribution to the Optimus for that as well. But I'm a member of Sunrise Optimus now for 30 years plus, and it's just a fantastic organization for the youth. So
you're going to be one of the first to have trees, I would imagine. November the 20th, you'll probably be number one.
Oh, I don't know about number one. I don't exactly know, but they'll be out there. They'll be out front.
Normally you don't see Christmas trees starting to surface until the week after Thanksgiving, do you? Or maybe that's when I start paying attention.
You start paying attention. Typically when our Optimus, our truck arrives sometime on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving or the day after Thanksgiving, we set up. Or even the Sunday.
Yeah.
The Sunday even before Thanksgiving, we start to set our trees up, typically.
Okay.
Or we set the lot up, and then when the truck comes, we get a call. Yeah. When the truck's several hours out, and we come down and unload the trees and stand them up.
Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center, 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road. And we'll get into the Christmas trees, well, next week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure we'll be talking about that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, maybe talking about the football game.
Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Well, I wish you were going to come out.
I wish I was, too. Believe you me, this is one I'd love to see. And my grandson has just been nipping at my heels all week.
How about the Missouri game the following week?
That's right. That is. Don't have tickets for that one either yet. But still, we might. We might.
Well, you need to get in touch with our good Democrat lawyer friend.
Yes, indeed. I haven't heard from him this year.
You haven't heard from him?
Well, it's been disappointing. Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
What's up?
I don't know. Folks, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning, and Dave Jackson, we'll see you next Friday.
Okay.
Enjoy the weekend, folks. And head out to Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center, 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road.